had agreed upon yesterday that we'll continue with our program for public hearing today. We also did agree that instead of starting at 11, we'll start at 9. I did warn some of the young people that they shouldn't come to Cape Town and think that they're going to spend long night hours. They are very popular for that. I would imagine hence a number of them are not here today as we start. Now, we agree that we'll start off with the Youth Commission. We've just gotten a word that the Youth Chamber of Commerce is going to come a little later. And do we have a PAC? Well, they're having some difficulty. Anybody from the Youth Council? Is your name Busisiwe Shabalala? And anybody from the Council for the Blind? Has coped today? Anybody from Western Cape Youth Commission? ANC Youth League. These are the people who are expected to present today. We shall start off with the National Youth Commission, and then others will join us on the way. Without waste of time, we shall hand over to the Youth Commission, and then take it from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just to, I'm sure you can see that I did, as a highly disciplined young person who's exiting the sector very soon, I have taken your warning kindly, and from here yesterday decided to go to my room and sleep. Hence, I am able to do the presentation today. Thank you very much, honorable members. My name is Yoli Somakasi. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Youth Commission. I'd like to apologize for my chairperson. She is on sick leave as well as on study leave and is unable to be with us here today. She did make an apology. Just to take you through the presentation, I think we really welcome the opportunity to be part of the people who are presenting here, because to us, this is not just a technical process of developing legislation, but also it's about defining a discourse in relation to youth development in this country, and we're happy to be part of the definition of that discourse itself. And we really view our input here as also about sharing experiences of the Youth Commission, an entity which was set about 14 years ago, I think, in 1996, with a very broad mandate, which has been open to different interpretations by different people at a certain stage of their lives or informed by their own expectations of what they expect. So we hope that this presentation will assist to very much focus the mandate of the National Youth Development Agency so that it's not subjected to the same subjective scrutiny at times that the Youth Commission has been subjected to, informed by people's expectations, which may not necessarily be covered in terms of the legislation that was passed by Parliament then. A few issues really relate to the context that we understand the bill to be taking place, the broader context. We know that in terms of the recent statistics from the State SA, about 34.6% of the population is young people. This excludes the ratio of children. It's mainly young people, as we define them, between the ages of 14 to 35. Depending on which side people fall in, whether you are pro-youth development or you are against youth development, but to us, as people who are working in the youth development sector, this youth badge presents great opportunities for this society that we live in. If these young people get opportunities and are given opportunities to participate in the economy, to access education, therefore the future is brighter. But if they are left to to grow up in poverty and to experience unfair conditions of living, then we have a cause for concern, because these young people's energy may be redirected to something else that is not positive for the country. There is a need, obviously, to nurture and improve on education, health, economic participation, health and social inclusion needs of young people. And all these issues are highly articulated in the National Youth Policy, which was submitted to the Presidency for adoption by Cabinet in March this year. Youth are agents of change in our view, and linked to the issue I raised earlier on, that if their energies are enhanced and supported, they can actually make change in societies themselves, positive change. We do see the whole issue of one of the greatest challenges currently is that we have more and more young people who are falling out of the cracks, if you like, who, no matter how many interventions are being made, but those interventions do not necessarily talk to them. I think the statistics that we, the last statistics we've indicted with on the issue, which should have been last year, was estimating the number around 2 million of the youth population that is falling on the cracks. But obviously, I'm sure the stats may have gone up now, or hopefully may have gone down, I don't know. But I think the most pressing issue is around how do you reintegrate these young people who are falling off the cracks into the mainstream through generating second chances for them. And we do see a crucial role that will be played by the agency with regards to these second chance interventions. We'll speak in detail with this as we continue the presentation. Our points of departure are that there is a national youth policy in our view, which has gone rigorous stages of input by the youth sector, by relevant stakeholders in government, in the private sector, etc. The youth policy was submitted to the Presidency in March this year for adoption as the national youth policy for this country. So it is really our guiding document, if you like, in relation to youth development and the approaches that we have taken forward with regards to youth development as a country. There's other issues that we would like to raise with regards to the agency. I think the first issue is around the sectioning, tagging of the legislation, whether it is a Section 75 or a Section 76. We would like to share some views around this issue, especially considering that youth development is a cross-cutting issue, and the fact that youth development is everybody's business, especially provincial and local government institutions, because delivery ideally should be taking place there. Also, there is still lack of clarity around the corporate form of the Youth Development Agency. When we look at the bill, and of course bills are open to different interpretation, when we look at the bill is much more inclined towards the current corporate form of the Youth Commission, the National Youth Commission, which is a Section 3A. And some of the tasks that are given to the agency itself, because of our own understanding of what agencies are, which are basically extensions of departments with regards to improving service delivery, then there seems to be a bit of a challenge or a dilemma with regards to that issue. I think the other issue is really our understanding of the mandate cycle in relation to youth development. There is four key areas of focus. It's policy formulation and advocacy, it's implementation, it's coordination, and coordination talks to two things: coordination of implementation of the youth policy, and also coordination of inputs of young people into the youth policy and other processes beyond the youth policy that are of interest to young people that are taking place within the development arena, in particular within the setup of government. The other issue that we would really like to raise is around the issue of the executing authority vis-a-vis an independent autonomous body. Again, this relates to the what corporate form does this entity take. Are we still going to see a situation? I see the bill reflects a lot on the role of the president. I assume, or we assume, that the agency will be located in the presidency. And what form of autonomy will it enjoy, considering some of the tasks that are being given to the agency itself, if it's located within the presidency itself? The other issue I would like to raise is really around the M&E and oversight functions, which we believe should be conferred to a different entity. And having scanned the environment, we thought that one of the best entities that this function can be conferred to is a committee of parliament. But again, we'll talk in detail with regards to that. Of course, that's if, again, rules of parliament allow for this to happen. And would like to speak briefly on transitional arrangements. In terms of definitions, Chairperson, we would want to indicate that the bill does not define youth development, but defines youth. And we would like to recommend that the definition that is currently in the youth policy, we have submitted or we will be submitting the youth policy as well as some other supporting documentation with regards to this definition and other issues we are raising. On the objects of the bill, we are suggesting that Section 3A and B should be taken off from the objects of the agency. This is really just technical stuff that we picked up as we are going through the bill. Section A and B should be taken off from the objects of the agency. The enforceability of the coordination function can be quite a difficult task, but also a task that we have to think very well about how we want to see it unfolding, because in the manner in which we understand agencies to be, it's not clear how this task is going to shape off. Section 3C and Section D, again, this should be taken off, as the agency should focus on implementation of programs. And it's also no different whatsoever between what is implied in this section and the integrated youth development strategy. Section 3E, there's a verb, I hope it's a verb, there's something there around initiate. And we say this using our own experiences and the mandates that were conferred in the National Youth Commission through the National Youth Commission Act. This initiate leaves the agency vulnerable in the sense that programs on youth development can end up being relegated to it with no government department taking them seriously. And yet, whatever form of institutional mechanisms we have in the country, we still believe that it's quite crucial for state entities, in particular government departments and public entities, to really take care and ensure that youth development is part of their own strategic plans and implementation plans, so that you don't set up different mechanisms. The different mechanisms in the form of an institution must simply be to enforce or to assist with the delivery, but not mainly a responsibility. So interpretations differ from people to people, but the concept of initiate opens the youth the agency quite vulnerable. It creates an impression that the agency will have to initiate programs separate from those articulated in the youth policy and the strategy of the country for youth development. Functions of the agency should be operate within the confines of the national youth policy, we believe. Section 3G should be placed in the preamble of the bill rather than the object of the act. Section 3H and I, this issue relates to advocacy and lobbying function, which is implied in the mainstreaming functions under research. This should be moved to the functions of the agency in breaking down what would need to be done to ensure the mainstreaming of youth development by all organs of the state. The proposed objects, we've looked a bit onto the objects and we thought they could be organized and proposed in a much more pointed form. We've identified a few here. The objects of the agency can be located within the following six strategic objectives: conducting research on the state of the youth to inform the country's approach to youth development, policy research and mainstreaming of youth development in all facets of South African society, design and implement programs aimed at civic engagement and participation of the youth, facilitate economic participation and empowerment of the youth. There is a need to be more specific on the areas of economic participation of the agency. The agency would be functional within e.g. funding and entrepreneurial support, because the sector is quite broad of economic participation, and we know that the agency can't do everything. It will have to prioritize on certain things and see which other activities can be integrated within other entities that are there already in government that are doing similar functions. Dissemination of information on youth development is also a critical issue. The principles, these are the principles that are embedded in the youth policy. I will not go into detail into them, Chairperson. The functions of the president. We took quite an interest on this matter because we really have lots of experiences we can share regarding location of the youth commission in the presidency and whether really it is the best model or it is the most functional and supporting model to ensure youth development or not. But we just want to say that guided by sections 84 and 85 of the constitution, which confers responsibility of formulation and coordination to the executive. So already, the agency, it will be located in the presidency as an entity, which in our own understanding and the current understanding, as also I think expressed in many documents like your PFMA, etc., agencies are an extension of service delivery by a specific department. So the responsibility for policy formulation and coordination is conferred. Our understanding is that that responsibility is conferred to the president himself or herself. The challenge of enforceability of these functions when conferred upon another entity by legislation, NYC experience. These responsibilities are given to the president. Now, who ensures that they do happen? Because in the current experience that we have, there's responsibilities that have been given to the president through the legislation that set up the Youth Commission. The president, in turn, delegated the responsibilities to a minister in the presidency. The minister in the presidency, in turn, delegated some of the responsibilities to the administrators in the presidency. The administrator in the presidency, the DG, delegated to the COO. The COO delegated to he's the acting chief financial officer now. So the delegations in government go on and on and on to the lowest level. How do we ensure that what we expect the president to do through this legislation actually gets done? And if the president does not do it, or whatever system the president has set up in support to him does not do it, what happens then? This is what we have always been confronted with, I think, for the past 11 years or 12 years of existence of the National Youth Commission. The policy formulation and coordination function, coordinate implementation, this I explained earlier on that it relates to coordinating implementation of the youth policy as well as youth input to the policy regime, because it's important. The young people's input into the policy regime in this country is not only to the development of the youth policy, but to all policies and legislations, because youth development is cross-cutting. How do you do this if you're an agency that is not necessarily within the mainstream machinery of government? Again, we are drawing this from experiences. We suggested a formulation that says, I think it's one of the points, I'm not sure exactly what is it, the president, in consultation with the NYDA, is responsible for development and gazetting of the national youth policy and the integrated youth development strategy, rather than giving the function to the agency, because the president at the end has to take responsibility. But in taking that responsibility, the president must consult with the National Youth Development Agency, because the National Youth Development Agency is the one that is being given direct responsibility on youth development. Other people would ask, why should the president consult the Youth Development Agency? We don't expect the president to run youth development, in particular, write policies for young people in this country. It's important for us that when the president exercises that responsibility, the Youth Development Agency is consulted beyond the Youth Development Agency to other institutions and other civil society partners within the sector. Again, the issue of enforceability, we are raising it. The agency has no enforceability at this stage for departments to implement the strategy developed by the presidency. Functions of parliament. We are making a proposal that we need to add, and we don't know how constitutional or how right is this, but we thought let's just raise, flag the issue to as part of our submission that Parliament has a crucial role to play with regards to youth development. And our experience is that Parliament has not played that role as we would want as young people in the sector to play it, because we basically, in terms of the oversight and enforceability mechanisms at this stage, you basically depend on Parliament to call government departments, Department of Education. These are the Millennium Goals. How far are you with regards to ensuring that the girl children have access to education? Because the girl children are defined to some extent as young people. Of course, there's a cross between children and young people. Department of Labor, the Skills Development Program is not addressing the interests and challenges of young people. How do you ensure? At this stage, the Youth Commission has no enforceability function to do that on its own. It relies on Parliament to do that. There is a committee of Parliament, which is the Joint Monitoring Committee. However, our understanding of that committee that at this stage is that on its own, it has its own challenges in terms of how it can call government departments to come to account. It would have to do that through a number of other portfolio committees and et cetera. And we're saying that it's important for Parliament to take a real active stand with regards to monitoring and oversight implementation of youth development in this country. We don't know, Chair, how possible it is for this to be included in the legislation itself. Ideally, it would be lovely to have a committee, a portfolio committee. We understand, again, the limitations of a portfolio committee, that it's only a National Assembly committee, but whatever mechanism that works, that focuses on youth development. Even if youth development is within the presidency, that portfolio committee must be able to call all departments, including the presidency, because the presidency also has responsibilities with regards to youth development, because its coordination mechanism should also assist us to give answers to some of these challenges. Sorry, Chair. We also further suggest that the portfolio committee then becomes responsible for monitoring and holding the executive accountable for implementation of the national youth policy, and coordination role be moved from the National Youth Development Agency and conferred to the presidency. Again, people will ask us, why are we raising this issue? There is two areas of coordination. There is coordination with regards to ensuring implementation of the policy. Somebody who is following up all these departments to ensure that they live up to the implementation plan, to the implementation of the implementation plan of the youth policy. In the presidency, currently we have a PCAS, the Policy Coordination Unit, I think, advisory something, I can't remember exactly. But what we are saying is that as part of the responsibility of PCAS or whatever it gets changed into, it's important that that responsibility for coordinating implementation of youth development rests there. Also, because they are coordinating the government program of action and et cetera, this assists us to ensure that there's proper coordination and integration of young people into the mainstream plans and activities of other departments. But somebody has to watch that departments are doing it. And for us, I think the president stands a better position to do so, because coordination happens at that level. There's the other area of coordination that relates to civil society inputs. Again, this needs to be defined. Under normal circumstances, where you have a fully functioning civil society movement of young people under the umbrella of the South African Youth Council, this is one of the functions that could be easily conferred to the to that entity. However, that entity would again have to work very closely with structures within government, because that entity is not part of government. It can only mobilize outside government, but there's lots of work that needs to be done within government itself. Functions of the agency. We really believe that some of the detail that is in the legislation does not belong there. Once you start talking about units and all these things in a legislation, you are being quite restrictive. We need to leave it quite flexible so that the agency itself can define its units and other things without being confined by the legislation that was established 2 or 3 years ago. And we need to ensure that there's alignment of functions to the objects. Section 6.4A, the report should not necessarily be annual. I think this talks to the report on the state of the youth, as this may not... 5 minutes. Okay. As this may not be necessary and doable, the research and the report to be conducted in this area should be done within reasonable time to measure the trends and changes in the status of the youth. And people who are in the research world will tell you 3 to 5 years, or, you know, it depends how you want to monitor trends, if the purpose of that report is to do that. Section 7A, we believe that the National Youth Policy issues that are raised in the strategy. This section should be relocated into the earlier sections where reference to the policy is made. Section 8 and 9 should be taken out. The section can only outline that the board would be constituted in terms of the corporate form that this institution is adopting. I did speak earlier on about the lack of clarity around the corporate form that the agency is going to take. Composition and powers, again, clarity on the corporate form. Each corporate form in the Public Finance Management Act has specific corporate governance practices. Employment procedures are adequately covered in public in relevant public service regulations. There may really no need to include them here. Provincial boards, the bill speaks to the provincial boards without talking about the repeal of the Provincial Youth Commissions Act. Does this then mean they will be operating parallel to one another? If not, what interim measures can be put in place? If yes, we foresee a serious dilemma and conflicts between the two institutions as the mandates may overlap. In fact, the mandates will overlap because they're all about youth development. And we're just referring that we need to draw current experiences from institutional setup of UMSOBO Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission, which had quite different mandates. But for some reason, at some stage of implementation of those mandates, there's been areas of conflict and competition. And one of the things that this agency should try to achieve is to ensure that there is no competition between the different entities of youth development because there are scarce resources. Resources must be used optimally to the benefit of young people. We just looked at two options as an answer to the above. The option one is to suggest holding off on the incorporation of PYCs in the bill until consultations with provinces have occurred and have an amendment of the bill at a later stage. Or option two, propose a Section 76 process as youth development is concurrent function, even though it may not technically be reflected in the Constitution, but that's just a technicality in our view. There is a need for dedicated consultations at provincial level. There's an issue around development at local government level. I only have one or two slides left, Chair. The functions should be synchronized with proposed objects of the Act again. It is not clear how the coordination and advisory role of the agency will be different to that of the local youth units, which are operational in some municipalities and not operational in others. This, again, is one area that the Youth Commission has struggled a lot with regards to ensuring that youth, local government structures take responsibility for youth development because youth development is about service delivery. Also, if we want to leave the framing as it is in the legislation currently, it may have an impact on the Municipal Structures and Systems Act, especially as it relates to the advisory powers to the council. As we conclude, Chair, I think we just want to make a few observations. One, we are making this submission as the Youth Commission, fully aware that the establishment of the NYDA takes away some of the key powers of the youth sector. This is with regards to issues of policy formulation, advocacy, and coordination, which is why it's important that we answer where these powers and functions are going to be located so that they don't disappear in the middle. This presents a dilemma to us as international and regional charters advocate for youth policies and any youth development has to be youth-led and youth-driven. We need to answer how, when the president takes a lead, for instance, in all these things that are related to advocacy and policy formulation and coordination, how then do we ensure that young people do participate and are still leading these processes? I'm sure there's mechanisms that can be put in place. And again, lastly, Chairperson, would really like to indicate that we are making this submission together with the National Youth Policy and together with the research that we have done with regards to institutional setup or institutional mechanisms in the country. And in case one day we want to do amendments of the legislation, those documents will be quite useful in taking us forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCarthy from National Youth Commission. I take it that we don't have any addition. Welcome, a latecomer. We did warn, I guess, yesterday that you shouldn't try and overindulge, lest you have difficulty waking up and be in time. We shall have, if we do have somebody from Youth Chamber of Commerce, Pan-African Congress or Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, Youth Council, it's still sleeping, I guess, Free State Youth Commission. You see, the challenge and the difficulty that we're going to be confronted with is that once we go ahead and conclude, some of these invited guests here will probably go through the route of a fruitless expenditure because they shall have arrived in Cape Town and never to have found themselves doing what they had come here for. Unfortunately, I think we're heading in that direction. In the absence of all of those, we shall hand over then to Inkatha Youth Brigade. What we are doing, we are taking notes as we listen to the presentation, so that after three or so of these presentations or submissions, we then are going to take a full round of questions, seeking clarity only, and also comments. Anybody from the Council for the Blind? Congress of the People? Western Cape Youth is supposed to be here long before any of us. Okay, we shall then give over to the ANC Youth League. Are they here? You are here. Will you, all those who are expected to do submissions, can they just occupy this area? Do you have anybody from Youth in Energy and Minerals? Freedom Front Plus? Lisa Kilalisedi? Can you come over here? Can we have our IT people here on standby all the time? Can somebody call them to be here all the time? Okay, can we settle down? Can we stop all the talking on the side here and do work expected of them? Thank you, Dada. Thank you. We shall hand over to the Youth League. They shall introduce themselves and take it from there.
Thank you very much, former president of the Youth League, president of the committee, which is dealing with the important aspect, especially on issues of youth development. Thank you very much. I'm Andy Lulungisa from the Youth League. I'm with Clifford Mutsepe from the Youth League, Lawrence Wenkile from the Youth League. Wide delegation, which is mandated to come and make an oral submission based on the presentation that were forwarded when the timeframes were issued out by the committee. Obviously, our oral presentation is going to be based on what we've submitted. Also, we're going to deal with two approaches, where we're also going to deal with the specific aspects that have been raised by the bill. Firstly, our comments are moving from, we're saying at the level of the Youth League, our approach on youth development must be to take approach that is more integrated, vertical and horizontal alignment, guided by the reality of a unitary state, which we want in South Africa. As we understand currently, there are strong features of a federal state, but I think the agents must be able to take which it must be able to have the agents at the level of national level, provincial level, also at the local level in terms of the local municipality. We're saying at the level of the district, at least young people, they must be able to take a taxi from one location or from one village to be able to go to the offices of the agents throughout the country. The second issue that we're raising, the agents must be able to be located within the office of the president, but it must have a separate vote. We're saying the parliament must be able to issue a specific vote, which is going to be able to focus specifically on the issues of agents within the office of the president, because we're raising that issue on the basis that we're saying the office of the president is the highest office in the country. At least it will be able to have powers of making sure that all other government departments, they respond seriously on issues of youth development. That's what we're saying. We're also saying it must also be a national public entity, which it must be within the laws of this country. So understand that there's PMSA, which we're saying also the agents must be able to be located in those areas. We're also saying in terms of the bill, the current draft, it also falls short of taking into account where we are coming from on issues of youth development, the role that has been played by young people in this country. I think in terms of the preamble, must be able to capture a historical political context where we are coming from as young people in this country, the role that has been played by different generations, your generation before 1944, generation of 1944, generation of 1976, even the current generation. We are saying the preamble must be able to capture where we are coming from when it comes to issues of youth development, your formation of youth commission, Umsobomvu Youth Fund, the white paper of education. We're saying it must be able to capture our history in terms of the bill. When you go to the issues that have been raised by the bill, we're not talking about board of directors. We're saying, for instance, the bill is very clear that there must be chaplain, one chaplain full time. Our proposal, they were saying at least there must be more than three people who must be full-time at the level of board of directors. We're also saying in terms of the agents must be able to there must be enforceability when it comes to issues of youth development. At least all government departments must be able to be enforced in making sure that in terms of their plans, also in terms of their scorecards, they take the issues of youth development very seriously. We're also, as I've highlighted earlier, that we're saying the agents must also be at the local level. Is one of the four points that we're putting emphasis at the level of the youth league. The other issue, we're saying, we're not talking about this agent, is the organization, is the institution of young people. We're saying, we're not talking about people who are going to be part of the board. They must be nominated by youth organization, by youth structures, also by young people as individuals. We cannot have everyone, even if they are more than 35, where they can be able to say, these are the people that must be in charge, must be able to drive youth development. We're saying that process, it must depend solely on the hands of young people. We're also talking about the issues of the report. At least we're saying the board must be able to make sure that the agent is accountable through the office of the president, also through the standing committee in parliament, which that committee must be one of the discussions as well moving forward in terms of accountability. The other issue which we're raising as part of the consultations, we're saying through the ad hoc committee, it will be also be important that if NEDLAG can be also be consulted in this process of this bill. The other issue which we've also raised earlier is the issue of parliament, that there must be a separate vote for this agent in parliament, which it must be a vote in the office of the president, but through parliament. The other issue, which is the limitation, which has been highlighted through the draft bill, is the issue of a CEO. We're saying no, there'll be board of directors. It's the responsibility of board of directors in making sure that they appoint a CEO, but they must do that also in consultation with the office of the president. But it must be the responsibility of a board of appointing a CEO and then the whole staff of agents, because the CEO will be in charge at the administrative level, making sure that also other directors are appointed, including staff, each and every person. But also the other emphasis we've put is that it must be a youthful organization of young people, even everyone works in that institution. At least there must be between the limits of 18 to 35. We cannot really, I know the institutional memory must be able to be transferred to young people. The other issue that we're raising is the issues of transitional processes through the issues of institutional memory. We're saying at least you must be able to make sure that the lessons that we've learned on issues of youth development, at least they are kept through the processes, the information that Youth Commission for since 1996 until today, Youth Fund, all what we've learned when it comes to issues of youth development, that memory must be able to be kept where we can be able to take into account also the weaknesses that have been experienced by those institutions. As we understand clearly, ours at the level of the youth league, it is a departure from a certain institutional arrangement to a new institutional arrangement. As we understand clearly, the institutions that have established, they had limitations in terms of mandate, but were very clear at the level of the youth league that the institutions that were Nsubomvu and the Youth Commission, based on the mandate that they were given by the laws that were developed, they managed to fulfill their mandate. That's why at the level of the youth league, we do claim hands for the Nsubomvu Fund and the Youth Commission, as well moving forward in making sure that we've got a new institution which is going to have at least a broader mandate than the institutions, which were very clear those institutions then implemented programs that we've agreed upon in terms of law. They have not failed. I think that point it needs to be emphasized time and again, that as we're moving forward, we're a developing country, we must be able to adapt to new conditions as we're moving forward. But been also very clear that in terms of the bill, it must be Section 75 bill. Obvious, in terms of the ad hoc committee, you must be able to take into account also other processes which link with other house in parliament. Those are the issues that must be addressed as we're moving forward. Those are the issues that we're raising in terms of the bill. If we go to the details of the bill, page by page. We go to subsection 3F. For instance, what we're reading there, we're saying that at least that section must be amended. It must be read as follows. Guide efforts to facilitate economic participation and empowerment of the youth. We're saying at least in that sentence we must be able to change it. The rationale that we're raising there, we're saying at least there must be a strong and fast when it comes to the economic participation of young people in terms of the agents. And then we're also going further to say in subsection 3K, at least we must also make changes there. We're saying that nothing contained in this act shall be deemed to preclude the agents from directly implementing any program or interventions aimed at advancing its objectives in terms of this act. We're saying in terms of the agents, it must be able to have this, it must be able to have power to be able at least to have intervention programs. But I think the agents, it must not be taken in the context that, as we're talking about this agent, is going to be a new Jerusalem. We're not talking about a new Jerusalem. It's not going to be able to respond to each and every issue that affects young people. That's our approach from 1994 has been very clear to say in South Africa, we're not talking about youth development. It must be integrated. Each and every government department must be able to respond to issues of young people. I heard yesterday there were people who were talking about sport, that young people must be relegated to sport, must be relegated to culture. Young people, they must be relegated to each and every aspect in society, because it's not all of them that play sport. But we're saying all components, young people, they must be able to participate in all spheres, in all corners. We cannot have young people only in sport. The sport is an important aspect, as you'll understand, all of us are also moving towards 2010. But young people, they must be able to make sure that they participate in all areas. And then we also go to subsection 6.1c. We're saying there's a duplication there. We're saying it must be relooked. I know people are going to deal with the technicalities of the bill. They must be able to delete that aspect, which it will be having those subsections. As we've indicated earlier, we're saying the agents, it should be a public entity, which it should be governed through the laws of this country, including the PMFA, which we're saying, for instance, in terms of the agents, at least must be able to report in Parliament, at least annually, each and everywhere. We're not talking about a report that must be able to take into account the trends on issues of youth development in terms of research. But it must be able to say, based on the objectives of the bill, also based on the youth policy, which later it must be adopted. Also based, because for instance, each and every year, we're saying there must be areas of focus. At least we must be able to say, the agents, this year, these will be the areas that will be prioritized by the agents. On those specific issues, it must be at least annually to account in Parliament. It's like in South Africa, we understand that. Also, the president of the country, each and every year, February, accounts what they've done in making sure that the programs that they have identified for a period of a year, they are implemented. Also, I think the agents must be able to take that approach of at least accounting in Parliament through the portfolio committee about the work that has been implemented by the agents. When we go to subsection 9.1a, we're saying we're amending the issues of board of directors, because, for instance, what is captured by the bill, which I've raised earlier, is that there must be one chairperson full time. At least I think at least there must not be less than three. It will also be on the negotiations and the challenges that are faced by the board of directors. Then at least we're saying at least there must not be less than three in making sure that the work of the agent is taken very seriously, because if it should be only one person, it will be really difficult. We've also made emphasis on this point that in terms of the CEO, there must be a CEO, but it must be consultation with the president. in appointing a CEO, but the responsibility of a board. If we go to subsection 17 in terms of the bill, point one there, we're saying on this issue, we're saying we must remove reference from the Public Finance Management Act. What we're raising there, we're saying those delegations relate to the power to delegate powers and functions in terms of this act rather than the PMFA. This is the incorrect cross-reference, as Section 56 of the PMFA only deals with the delegations in terms of the of that act. We're saying that, for instance, that is not really captured. I know we do have people who are coming from the law background, must at least to visit the act in making sure that in terms of the current bill, at least is consistent in making sure that it takes into account the laws that we've agreed upon. But I think that issue needs to be addressed there. And then what we're also raising specifically on the issue of the draft bill is on section number 19. If you open the pages, I will assume that all of us do have the copies. The rationale that we're raising there, we're saying we must delete the whole area there because we're saying this section does not add any value whatsoever to this legislation. The provision of the PMSA in relation to the public entities are very clear in terms of the Act and then do not need to be replicated in this Act. If we reproduce section of the PMSA that are recapable to the agents, we must reproduce all other sections, which will create a really different situation. It's what we're saying there, because you need law fundis that must be able to work on that aspect, making sure that in terms of the law, we're also not challenged. If we're going to section 25, we're saying at least we amend it, that it must be able to read the follows. Local coordinators as citizens in 21 within the restriction of a district municipality must elect. For instance, we are putting very clear that if we are having, because our approach at the youth league was like each and every municipality in the country must have an office of the HR. But in terms of the current reality, you do have the offices of the municipality. We are saying that while you will understand that maybe there will be five local municipality under a certain district municipality. I think at least those offices, they must come together, at least have one person that must be able to represent the views of the municipalities in the district. But I think it must be more a way of a coordination. You must be put, it must be a flexible issue when it's legislated. Because, for instance, the issue, I think as we're moving forward, we'll phase out other issues of provinces and district, but currently there's no law that is phasing out those institutions. We still have district and local municipalities, but I think in terms of the offices, at least they must be able to come together at that level. It must be put in a certain way there. If we go to section 22.3, I think that section must be, my food or most of it must be read as the following. Notwithstanding the provision of the subsection 2, the regulations may provide for penalties which may be imposed by the agent and may provide that the agent may publish details of such non-compliance in the manner prescribed. The rationale that we are raising there, for instance, now people, they are not penalized on issues of youth development. We'll find that directors from serious government departments, when they account, even if they've raised nothing on new development, no one is going to hold them accountable. No one is going to hold them randomly. So I think at least the agents must be able to have those powers of making sure that all of us must be able to account, even the people who are part of this committee are deployed in parliament. At least in terms of their program, politically, they must be able to account on issues of youth development. I know it can only be reduced to this committee, and then we'll find that our committees, they will see issues of youth development like a hot sun. We are saying it cannot be an issue. Issues of youth development must be part and parcel of all the processes. At least
who must make sure that, because young people, they constitute the majority. I know during the registration, everyone was clapping hands that young people, they came in numbers. Even 1994, young people, they were at the stand, even the last elections before the 2009, which were approaching next year, young people, they went in numbers. I think whatever that we're doing, it must be more integrated. We must make sure that young people, they're at the center of issues, especially in making sure that programs that are designed for young people, they're assisted, they're implemented by all sectors of society, including business and labor and the public sector. We're going also to the, we're saying the bill is very also quiet in terms of the powers of the agents. In terms of the powers of the agents, the agents need to have power to compel the designated entities to undertake certain things in advancing youth development. I think it's what we've raised there earlier in making sure that there's a serious issue. I think we've touched on the issues of the CO. Also, in terms of the functions of the board. For instance, I think the board must be able to spell out what will be the functions of the board and the administration. Those are the issues that needs to be done by people who will do what is called the organogram of the agents in terms of what will be the functions of the board, what will be the functions of the administration. But the board will still have those political aspects of making sure that issues of youth development are advocated very strongly, because that's why the youth league was very clear to say, also at the provincial level, at the national level, because if you cannot have a board of directors, which in this case, political, act as political champions, we'll have people who take serious chances on issues of youth development. You'll need those people to make sure that they put pressure. On the issues of bank account, I think there was very clear in terms of it will be an institution that must have a bank account from that vote of parliament. Resources must be able to be forwarded there. I think it's what is the emphasis that we're putting at the level of the youth league. As we've indicated earlier, that at least the other issues in terms of Umsobomvu Youth Fund, what we're raising there at the level of the youth league, for instance, Umsobomvu, it is a fund. By that fund, it will be within the agents, but not as a standalone issue, just as a small function, because the agents must continue in making sure that young people are assisted based on their business plan, based on their programs through funds. It must be able to respond clearly on the issues of national youth service in making sure that we build a social cohesion in this country. It must be able to respond directly on the issues of community participation of young people in this country. We are saying it's how the agents must be able to function. But the emphasis which we are putting very strongly, the agents must be able to be a unitary, to be able to allocate, to be unitary, each and every office. Young people, they must take a van, members of the youth commission, from one village to the office of the agents. In reality, you'll find that the current offices, they are allocated only nationally. Young people all over the country, they must be able to access. It must be an institution. At the level of the youth league, we have opposed all other issues. Because I think the agents that we're talking about, they must not take it to the context of the word. That's why we're saying the bill must be able to define what we mean in terms of the agents. We're not using the English word, which we'll find it in Oxford Dictionary. Well, I think this institution is the biggest institution than a government department. For instance, the mandate, they will talk about youth ministry and other issues because they cannot read the mandate. But they will only talk about the word youth ministry. They do not come with the mandate of the youth ministry. This agency, it takes up to 3 government departments. It's going to be the biggest institution in our lifetime, more than any mere youth ministry that will find it in your own research through Google. Because they'll raise it through Google. They've even experienced. They'll Google and sit and Google and say there's a youth minister somewhere in Kenya. They never even went to Kenya. They want us to have that youth minister. We're saying in South Africa, we're charting our own future based on our own experiences, not guided by Google, sitting in front of computer, and then we Google all over the world. And then we come and present to say, it is the approach that we must take in South Africa. We're not going to do that. It's the biggest institution that must be able to respond seriously on challenges that are faced by young people, because they've been very clear that the unemployed in this country, which is close to 39%, 70% of that unemployed is young people. We need an institution that must be able to respond directly on issues that affect young people. In those few words, as we've forwarded at the level of the Youth League a written submission with details, I would know it is very important that you must also be able to give an oral submission. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I hope the bill will be able to take the aspirations of young people of this country in making sure that issues of youth development are at the center. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lungisa from the ANC Youth League. Copies of the submission, I would imagine, are or have been submitted, or rather, circulated. You do have them. Thank you. Now, I'll request if you sit just around this area, Mr. Lungisa. We are going to, on a note of Googling, we will Google you. We will request all of those who are expected to present today at whatever time to make themselves available so that we are able to finish on time. You shall also notice that the times for the past two presenters have since been 20 minutes. The difficulty with that is that we had given those 20 minutes because we do not have any other person expected to present here, which is quite an unfortunate situation. May I get an indication as to who else is here? Pan-Africanist Congress? SA Youth Council, Young Communist League, Free State Youth Commission, IFP Youth, SA Council for the Blind, COPE seems not to be coping. Anyway, we shall then hand over to the Free State Youth Commission, and thereafter we'll field questions seeking clarity and also comments. We were a bit liberal yesterday by even allowing some of us who were even to intervene with debates. Today we shall not allow anybody to engage in any debate. Only and strictly questions that seek clarity and also comments. I know we might have a tendency of really stretching that comment into an engagement in a debate itself. Youth Commission must come here. The chairperson shall open and present. If needs be, the accounting officer may add, then we'll take it forward from this thing. We do have a presentation from the Free State Youth Commission. It is on page 4. Of our file. I take it you're going to be talking to the Word document, which is what we have. You don't have any PowerPoint presentation. Can we have those reproduced? Can we have those slides being reproduced? Where are those?
Are you having a PowerPoint presentation or are you having a slide presentation? I speak to the Word document. Thank you. We do have the Word document in our file. Thanks.
Thank you, the Honorable Chair of the Committee and the members. I am Lucas Mawa, the Chairperson of the State Youth Commission. Together with me is the CEO of the Commission. We shall be presenting our presentation as earlier forwarded before the committee. And I must indicate upfront, Chair, that I will only be talking on the overall background in terms of the context from which our presentation was premised, and thereafter allow my CEO to deal with the actual presentation. I think as Free State Youth Commission, we welcome the opportunity availed to us to get to input in terms of the proposed draft bill on the National Youth Development Agency. And we want to state that we indeed have been part of the...
Just 1 second. There seem not to be, there seem to be other members who do not have... who else does not have... Can you also invite your CEO to join you, sit next to you, so that we don't waste time having to call him? Okay, the copies are going to be reproduced, and then in the meantime, I'm sure we will take notes and then take from there.
Can I just have an indication on which member?
Just before 5, the yellow one in my file. It should be the Free State Youth Commission, written number 14. Switch off your mic. There written, and then it's on page 5, on page 4, between the black, green, gold, sorry, between the green and gold.
No, thank you, Chairperson. As already indicated, I think we, upon receiving and accessing the draft bill, we immediately convened as the Executive Committee of the Free State Youth Commission to ensure that we equally derive and come up with a comprehensive input to the draft bill. And this was done after our consultation with the relevant stakeholders in our province, including the provincial legislature, because we, as it is common knowledge, we are a provincial youth commission established through the Act of the provincial legislature, as well as the Office of the Premier. Now, the few issues that I would like to put across before we dwell into the presentation are the following. While the next section of the submission shall give more detail regarding the Free State Youth Commission's input, the following constitutes key critical areas which underpins our submission. A, the preamble of the bill does not reflect the true strategic mandate for the establishment of the National Youth Development Agency. The Limpopo Conference in this regard resolution of the ruling party should be used for the purposes of this bill. B, the bill is disempowering to the youth commissions in comparison to their current configuration. It does not expressly build on what the commissions already have and go on to add provisions for implementation. Number C, in each field, the bill simply seeks to achieve a measure of Umsobomvu Youth Fund as well as National Youth Commission and not to restructure the youth development machinery. It does not dismantle Umsobomvu and incorporate it as a business unit within the new agency, but rather reinforces as an ivory tower within the new entity. The bill speaks only about the youth policy and integrated youth development strategy, but falls short of speaking about the integrated youth development plan. This is a regret since the current legislations are so detailed to even mention this integrated youth development plan, since the strategy can be operationally vague. E, the management board at provinces should be reviewed since this is not responsive to the unique circumstances in individual provinces, even the functions of the boards as opposed to their composition. This would clearly result in difficulties of keeping them functional. Mm-hmm. Their membership is too big. For an example, in the Free State, it would be 32 members who have to meet at least monthly if we were to take into account the current setup of youth development officers in 25 municipalities. F, the proposed structural arrangement at local government level, that is local coordinators, is rather problematic because it unnecessarily bloats the structure at local level. There are already youth development officers at local level, and what are required are not additional personnel and office space, but rather more financial resources, power and execution instruments like policies and guidelines around roles, representation in decision-making platforms, etc. G, under definitions, a clear distinction should be made between the private sector, civil society, and public sector. These should not be treated under the same set of instructions since their mandates and roles are different, and therefore their potential value add towards youth development would surely be not be the same. As indicated, Chair, I think these are some of the few issues that constitute our main concerns with regard to the draft bill as it stands. And through your permission, I would like to hand over to the CEO to proceed with the actual presentation.
Thanks, Chairperson, members, colleagues from the youth sector and the leadership that around. Chairperson, I'm going to go through the 10 specific...
Just your name and so on.
Okay, my name is Thulifelo Lejaka. I'm the Chief Executive Officer at Free State Youth Commission. And then as per the indication from the Chairperson, I will then be commenting on the 10 inputs that we made specifically. I'm not going to read every aspect of this document, but I have, in some cases I will try and summarize the points. Chairperson, on the first input, it's around an issue that I know has been deliberated upon over and over of treating the bill as a Section 76 bill in this case. Our argument is that the aspects of the bill do affect provinces in a direct way, and there are other role players that have to be taken on board from within the provinces. And our aspirations then have been that over and above this process, we would we should find a way to also bring those stakeholders on board and actually consult with them so that some arrangements are made at the level of the province to receive the youth development agency. But I must indicate, however, Chairperson, that we in principle agree to the establishment of the youth development agency, and what we are doing is to speak from inside the bill to say that while the Youth Development Agency, we are agreeable to it, there are certain aspects in the bill that can be improved upon, and that then becomes the angle from which we are inputting. The second input, Chairperson, which is on page 4, is the one that the Chairperson from the Free Cities Commission had touched upon, the preamble of the bill. Currently, the preamble of the bill raises about 5 points, which says is the purpose for the establishment of the agency. Which it then says that this bill seeks to establish the NYDA and management thereof, to provide for the functions of the agency, to provide for the administration of Umsobomvu, to repeal the National Youth Commission Act, and to provide for matters connected herewith. We are expressing our discomfort, Chairperson, with that configuration of the preamble of the bill, because in our understanding, this bill does not necessarily seek to do this, but rather to provide for the establishment of the agency, which would serve as a single institution that drives issues of youth development in the country in a structured manner underpinned by seamless integration. So we are just proposing there, Chairperson, that that kind of an improvement can be effected to basically capture what the overarching aim of this bill is. Going to page 5, input 3 under definitions. Chairperson, we have a reservations about some of the definitions that have been captured in here. We are proposing, Chairperson, that some work be done to improve on those definitions. And some of the definitions that specifically we are uncomfortable with are on C, designated entities. The bill, Chairperson, refers to the designated entities as state organs, private sector, and civil society. And in this case, it also says that private sector would be anybody that has got an employment of more than 20 people. Now, in our understanding, Chairperson, that is going to be very problematic because we would have loved a situation where there's a delineation of the three role players because of their value add and the unique role they can play within the youth development sector is different. And we are also proposing, Chairperson, on page 6, E, the National Youth Fund. This is an issue that fundamentally we have a problem with under definitions. Currently, the bill says that the National Youth Fund means the National Youth Fund referred to in its Section 24, Subsection 2. When you look at Section 24, Subsection 2, it says that from the date of the transfer contemplated in Subsection 1, the Umsobomvu Youth Fund is known as the National Youth Fund. And then any reference in any law or document to the Umsobomvu Youth Fund or Umsobomvu Fund must be regarded to be a reference to the National Youth Fund. We have a problem with that definition of the National Youth Fund, Chairperson. Our input in this regard is that the National Youth Fund must rather be referred to as the funding streams administered by the agency for purposes of its functions as captured in Section C, Subsection 3A, under Clause 4 and 5. And then those funding streams are mostly two. Is the funding stream, Chairperson, that addresses issues of business and entrepreneurial development, and the one that addresses issues of academic advancement. So those are two essential funds that the bill speaks about. But we are very uncomfortable with this continued reference of Umsobomvu inside the bill. And hence we then earlier said that it seeks to give a feel that it reinforces Umsobomvu inside the agency. And our argument has been in the past that in its current configuration, we have problems with Umsobomvu because part of the things that were said by young people in the policy summit of 2006 was that there are a lot of duplicated functions between Umsobomvu and the youth commissions, both at national and the provinces. So it is for that reason that we say that from the very point of definitions, let us do away with this reinforcing of Umsobomvu inside the bill. And then, Chairperson, will not get into other concepts, but in our input, we do indicate that some little bit of improvement can be effected. The fourth input, Chairperson, is on principles. We have observed over the years, Chairperson, that the principles of youth development are changing. And what we are arguing for here is that we have not necessarily had a platform to debate some of these. When you look into the National Youth Development Policy Framework 2002 to 2007, there's a set of principles. When you look into the draft youth development strategy, there are a set of principles.
the draft youth policy, the draft principles, and the draft bill also. This youth development agency bill has got its principles that which is coming up with. But the platform has not necessarily been created to debate those. And then what we are concretely proposing, Chairperson, is that we should include also the following four principles as captured under 4.2 on page 7 of our submission. Gender inclusive, youth-driven, holistic, and social cohesion. We are hammering on this thing of gender inclusivity, Chairperson, from a premise that politically women have always indicated that women have had a problem of triple oppression. They've been oppressed by virtue of them being black on a race, by virtue of being young, but also by virtue of being women. But sometimes in the youth sector, we tend to overlook that. And an example in place here, Chairperson, is that from the 25 youth development officers in the Free State, as an example, only one is female, the other 24 are male. So this principle of gender is something that is quite close to our hearts, and hence we are bringing it in. But also the point of youth-driven, young people are a resource and should determine own destiny. So the age eligibility factor, Chairperson, we feel it's something that we must build in as a principle as well. The holistic and the social cohesion, I'm sure that the context has been established before and one will not necessarily get into that. On the fifth input, Chairperson, under functions of the President, Chairperson, I just need to indicate that we are not necessarily getting into the debate of whether the functions captured on Section 3 of the bill must be performed by the President of Parliament or the Minister and the President, because I'm sure colleagues in other platforms have advanced that argument. But what we are saying is that we should include the time interval in the function of the President. So we are essentially saying that it should read, the President must, by notice in the Gazette, publish the National Youth Development Policy, which will be reviewed every 5 years. And then our point of premise towards that argument is that currently the National Youth Development Policy framework is approaching the end of its sixth year without having been reviewed, because we do not legislate some of these moments that are important for purposes of review. So that is actually what we are then proposing. And then on 5.2, still on page 8, Chairperson, we are saying that part of the things that should be included in this section under the functions of the President is that the President should also publish the Integrated Youth Development Strategy as well as the Integrated Youth Development Plan. And then we are saying that the strategy may be published every third year, while the plan should be published every year, which then means that the plan will become the blueprint or the program of action for youth development or in a specific year. And then, Chairperson, going to input 6, still on page 8, objects of the commission. Chairperson, we are indicating here that under the objects of the agency, we have noted that when considering the objects of the bill in comparison to the existing objects of the commissions, there is relatively very little difference. In fact, the bill seems to be taming or rather domesticating the youth development agency in comparison to the current establishments of the youth commission. And then we are also indicating there, Chairperson, that an analysis of the doing ways or rather the verbs used in the bill gives no indication of the desire to move from merely coordination, lobbying, advocacy, and recommendation towards implementation and enforcement. And then part of the things that we are bringing in as an example to the point is on 6.2 under the amended object. To give an example there, Chairperson, the bill says that the agency will guide efforts to redress the imbalances of the past. An example in case there, Chairperson, is that in the current configuration of most of the acts, including the Free State Youth Commission, this guide effort is actually even referred to as implement measures and programs. Now, if you are saying that part of the challenges with the current institutional landscape is inability to implement and you want to move towards implementation, you really would not be substituting verbs like implement to guide efforts. So we feel that under object, there's a little bit of work that can be done there to improve that. But also, Chairperson, there are certain objects which we feel should be introduced into the bill. And in this case, we are at 6.3 of page 9 under omitted objects.
the object chairperson of, for example, the Free States Commission Act says that the commission, part of its function will be to develop an integrated provincial youth development plan that utilizes available resources and expertise for the youth, for the development of the youth, which shall be integrated with the RDP. We feel that this is a beautiful object and it must be retained. So if it can find its way somewhere into the bill. And then, Chairperson, still on 6.3B, we are also saying that, Chairperson, part of what we should allow the agency to do under its object should be to maintain close liaison with institutions, bodies or authorities similar to the Commission in order to foster common policies and practices and to promote cooperation. The inclusion of this object, Chairperson, would allow the Commission without any ambiguity, the agency without any ambiguity, to establish relations with other institutions established to protect and promote democracy, like the Commission of Gender Equality, Public Protector, the Human Rights Commission, and so on. So that clause, Chairperson, it has proved to work in the past, and we are proposing that it should be retained somewhere in this Youth Development Agency Bill. I will not touch on the summary, Chairperson, on 6.4, because that one was already touched upon. Going to page 10, input 7, functions of the agency. Chairperson, on page 7, under functions of the agency, the Free State Youth Commission proposes the following set of amendments to the current configuration. Mentioning of functions without mentioning powers. That is our input on 7.1. While the bill does speak of functions of the agency, it does not speak about its powers. And in the past, that kind of a section in the bill would have been referred to maybe as powers and functions of the agency. So that is basically what we are proposing there. Under 7.2, introduction of an opening phrase, I will not really touch on that, Chairperson. I think it's pretty straightforward to say that we could do with just that opening phrase before we introduce the functions. And then, Chairperson, the one point that we are hammering on is 7.3. Functions seem to be too biased to Umsobomvu. Chairperson, when you look at the totality of those functions, they are five. And then the entire subsection 3 says that the set of functions listed under subsection 3 will be performed by the National Youth Fund. When you go to definitions and look at who is the National Youth Fund, you find that it's Umsobomvu. Hence, we are saying that Umsobomvu is going to coexist as an ivory tower within the agency. And part of what we would have loved to see is the dismantling of some of the functions that are currently being performed by Umsobomvu, so that they can be built into other business units. For example, we have complained in the past about the research component of Umsobomvu and the functions that it does. We feel it's something that can be taken out. The youth information provision, it does not have to happen under Umsobomvu. It can happen from the communications platform created within the agency. So that is the part that necessarily, Chairperson, we are hammering on. And then on 7.4, more detail around the integrated youth development strategy. 6.1A says the agency must coordinate, monitor, and evaluate the integrated youth development strategy for South Africa, but it makes no mention of who must implement that strategy. So we are suggesting that we must introduce a clause that enjoins all the role players that must be held responsible for the implementation of that integrated youth development strategy. And we are saying that, Chairperson, against the backdrop that our understanding is that we are not moving away from mainstreaming youth development. So you will still continue to have a variety of other role players that will be executing youth development programs from where they are. And we must just build that into the bill to say that the integrated youth development strategy for South Africa, which shall be implemented by all identified designated entities as approved by the President or Parliament. And then really, Chairperson, there we did not necessarily could put a concrete submission in terms of who must approve the integrated youth development strategy, because I think the general discourse from amongst colleagues in the sector, it was giving clarity to that. And then on 7.5, we feel, Chairperson, that we should remove corporate structure issues under functions, and we should limit functions to the services which should be issued or offered by the agency to its customers or clientele, which in this case is the young people of South Africa. Our understanding here, Chairperson, is that really form will follow functions. So let us define the functions. And then once we have defined the functions of the umsobomvu, the cycle of the agency, the psychological contract between the agency and the majority, the young people out there, then we can talk about the form. And that does not have to be captured under that particular section. And then, Chairperson, 7.6 is still hammering on umsobomvu. I'm not going to talk about it. I think I've really spent a lot of time on the biasness of the bill to umsobomvu. People will start thinking I've got issues with which I really do not have, but I just feel that it will get away with its current existence if we don't look into some aspects of the functions of the bill. And then, Chairperson, on page 12, really, we are not necessarily proposing anything, but it is just to give a summary of these functions and why we are arguing that they are really biased in a way to umsobomvu. And then on page 14, the integrated youth development strategy, it's our eighth input. This entire section is not doing any justice in introducing the strategy and articulating its intended strategic object and anticipated role. This section should in fact be utilized for that purpose, because all the three other clauses covered in that or are already covered elsewhere. And our proposal there, Chairperson, is that we should delete all the currently contained directives under this section and rather use it to give more detail around the political plot aimed at through the integrated youth development strategy. That is what we seek to achieve through this strategy and what it should mean to different parties, that is the private sector, civil society, and public sector broadly. Chairperson, on input 9, appointment of the board, section 10, the term of office of the board, we are proposing there, Chairperson, that this should be linked to the electoral term, and it should therefore be a 5-year term and not a 3-year term. And then under conditions of appointment, page 11, this clause, Chairperson, of section 14, subsection 3, suggest that board of directors who are in the state employment will not be entitled to any remuneration or any allowance other than out-of-pocket expenses. We are arguing against that, Chairperson, because I think that will take away the power or the ability of the agency to attract the best amongst the progressive skills and attributes, particularly because those directors will not be seconded by their respective employers. That is organs of state to serve in the board, but they will be appointed directly in their personal capacity. So the proposal there, Chairperson, is that in this regard, all directors should therefore be paid an honorarium for attending to agency work and meetings as well as a retainer. It can be called that or any other thing, but as long as there is the retention element is taken care of, really, that is what our submission is about. And then on section 19B2, allocation of powers in this clause to the president will adversely limit the authority of the board and the CEO. While the conditions of service of the board and CEO may be determined by the president, the conditions of service of other staff members should, however, be left to the board and or the CEO. So our proposal there, Chairperson, is that we must not, like the bill currently say that the conditions of service of the CFO, the management of the agency, will be determined by the president. We feel it's something that the board should be competent enough to handle, Chairperson. And then on the last input, the provincial board, we will spend a little more time here, Chairperson, because speaking from the provincial sphere, this is an issue that rings very close to home. The provincial board, currently, Chairperson, the bill says that the provincial boards, which are referred to as the management board in the bill, will constitute of 7 directors, one of whom will be full-time, which is the chairperson, and then the deputy chairperson and the others will be part-time. Our proposal there, concretely, Chairperson, is that the chairperson and the deputy chairperson should be full-time. And the rationale is there is that in the event where the chairperson is not in, the deputy chairperson has to act, and the amount of work as well that will be required will necessitate that you have more than one person from the board being full-time in that case. And then we are then saying, Chairperson, on the third bullet, one director each representing a district should then form part of the management board, which would mean that the board will then be constituted at the provincial level by the chairperson who's full-time, the deputy chairperson who's full-time, and one representative from each district in the province. And then on page 16, section 24, subsection 5, says that having local coordinators, SNV said, serving in the management board, and in this case, in the case of the Free State, this is going to result in 25 local coordinators plus 7 directors constituting the management board. This really, Chairperson, will bloat that management board where it will be operationally very difficult for it to function. And we are then suggesting that you do not necessarily need a situation where local coordinators have to serve in the management board, particularly if you consider the set of functions which have been allocated to that board. And then what we are then saying as concrete proposals is that the existence of the agency at local level should not be legislated. We are saying that this can be informed by local dynamics, for example, the population size and the service delivery machinery capacity which is required. But if it is legislated, it means that we are going to have a provincial office in a province plus 25 other offices of the agency that have to exist in that province. And then irrespective of the vastness or the proximity of the different local municipalities within that district, you will have to have it because you have legislated it. And then the other point is that we are then saying what should be legislated should be the existence of the agency at a provincial and a district level. The part-time directors from that respective district will then double up as full-time directors at district level, which then means that to answer the question that we are sitting with around what and where will we get the part-time directors of the province, you can then have a situation where a full-time district director also serves as a part-time director at the provincial level. I think this will allow for synergy of planning between the two spheres, province and local. And then by the part of the day-to-day activities and responsibilities of the district director could then be to implement the youth development programs which are designated to the agency, but also to coordinate youth development work within the respective district. For example, by representation in the district IDR forum, the IDP forum, and other planning, monitoring, and evaluation platforms within the district. And then we are then saying that the district office will further provide certain services in the district which are the competence of the agency, for example, business funding, bursaries, youth information service, and so on. And then, Chairperson, what we are saying is that the district will then further coordinate and ensure implementation of the district the district integrated youth development plan, which shall be implemented by different local municipalities within their respective district. On the local coordinators, page 16 of the bill, but page 17 of our submission, section 25, subsection 1, all the way until 4. This whole section needs to be carefully looked at, since duplicating the youth development machinery at local level will unduly duplicate resources, such as buildings, fittings, transport, etc. The better option could rather be to allow the youth development agency to have offices at district level and not necessarily lower. Proposal, the bill should not instruct the existence of the agency at local level, since this can result in unnecessary duplication of resources, such as the resource that you have outlined. Chairperson, experience has taught us in this case that we do have personnel when it comes to the youth development sector at local sphere. Our challenges are around resources, power, and representation at strategic platforms that make decisions. So instead of creating unnecessary existence of the agency at a local level, we might first want to look at how best we can strengthen the youth development officers that we have already within the municipalities, and allow the agency to go one sphere lower than the province into district, and then do a little bit of that coordination work. And then I think, Chairperson, that brings to the end the critical issues that we thought we needed to input upon on the bill. Thanks.
Thank you, Free State CEO.
of the Free State Youth Commission. We shall, at this stage, members of Parliament and members of the provincial legislature, allow for clarity-seeking questions and also for comments. And again, please let us not engage in debate. We start to engage in a debate when we reach tomorrow, when we are going to do deliberation on the bill itself, based on the submissions presented here and today and yesterday. And we start to engage on a clause by clause as members of Parliament when we meet again on Thursday. After this, we will then break for tea. I'm told here that the business people have finally made it here, and they really didn't keep the time as they would have been expected of them, because they talk the language, time, value of money, and so on and so forth all the time. Maybe they were stuck somewhere clinching some deals. We are also informed that the Youth Council is here as well. I would have expected a Youth Council to be here from day one, because they are supposed to be pulling together all the youth formations in this country, so to get a sense of who has said what. And the vanguard of the working class among the young people, Young Communist League, I also would have expected them to be here from day one, so as to really and truly vanguard the working class. They have all arrived, but as I said earlier on, I shall allow an opportunity for questions and comments. Mr. Swarte and Costa.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairperson. And I'll be asking a question to all those who have who did presentation. And my first question for clarification is with regard to the National Youth Commission. They indicated that they are happy to be and to be housed in the presidency, but also they are also saying that they want an autonomy. They want the National Development Agency to have an autonomy. So I just want them actually to clarify us how or why are they saying they want an autonomy. The autonomy that they want, is it not actually an autonomy that is not going to actually affect the presidency? So that's the first question that I wanted. And also I'll ask another question also from the ANC Youth League. They've also indicated that they are happy to be housed. They are happy that the National Development Agency is housed in the presidency, because the presidency is the highest office of in the country. But they are also saying that they wanted a separate budget vote. So I just want them actually elaborate on that one. Why are they saying that they want to be housed under that high office? On the other hand, they also want to have their budget vote. And because we know that the president has got his budget vote. So can they please maybe explain how is that going to work with regard to that? And the other thing is that I also want to ask is from the Free State. They indicated that here that actually they are not happy with the preamble. And they also indicated that they wanted the preamble to be aligned to the Polokwane Conference. So now I'm surprised, because this is supposed to be a national development agency for all the people in this country. Are they saying actually that the Polokwane conference was actually taking the decision on behalf of the majority or the population of South Africa. I'm actually coming from the Democratic Alliance. So I just want them maybe to come out very clear and clean on that one, because we also need to be actually clarified as to whether this is an ANC thing or is it actually something that is going to be used by the people in the country. Because they also indicated that the youth must actually take the lead in this National Development Agency. They didn't actually specify which youth wing. They were said that the youth, all the youth, must drive, you see. But now I want them to come clear on that one.
Thank you. I shall allow maximum 2 questions per person moving forward. That's the rule.
Chair, but if not, it's doing politics here, who will politics follow?
Okay, let's allow questions. Thanks.
No, thanks, Chairperson. I'm normally lucky that that rule applies when I'm supposed to talk or ask. No, Chairperson, I just want to check. We have interacted. Oh, I'm the Chairperson. I'm Christopher, to the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Finance, Office of the Premier and the Legislature. One of the things I do, so I must think, how did I come here first before I say. So I wanted to check first, Chair, that maybe the approach of the Free State Youth Commission. I know I could have asked them when we interacted, but we'll still meet with them again next week. Look, the Youth Development Agency seeks to bring another independent body to come and do work of people that are already existing in the form of the youth development officers who are not, one, sitting in council's meetings as we speak, who also are not resourced. Why do we have to put up with this particular proposed arrangement when we have an experience? You know what has happened? There's a body that was called the United School Sports Association of South Africa. That body, its only problem was that it did not have resources for black athletes to register for tournaments and to be able to buy themselves attire, to book accommodation and that. And sport is run by teachers who are volunteers. Instead of resourcing that particular thing, what we did, we came with a body that we don't know why we created it today, the National Coordinating Committee, called the NACOC. Are we not doing a similar thing here, because we are struggling to see how we kill NACOC, because it's now been run by officials at the DDG level? That's why sports were having problems we're having at school today. I'm just making an example in that context. Two, I tried to look at the role which would be played by the development agency in the 5 districts of the Free State. I don't see it. Maybe in the view of the Free State Youth Commission, what role does the Free State Youth Commission see in districts for the development agency? In my own experience, I don't see a role. Why should we have it in all areas? Why can't we have it at the provincial level and maybe at the local level? And then when you appoint, or in the event the agency is going to appoint people in district, in locals and at provincial level, do you want to manufacture new people, or do you anticipate that you'd use the resource that you currently have? My personal view in the province, Youth Commission has not failed. And I think, and I know it's also the view of the Portfolio Committee I chair and the view of the legislature, the Free State, it has not failed. Sobomvu, well, is another thing I don't want to pronounce, but I'm just saying that has been our experience in the province. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Mkongi?
No, thank you very much, Chair. I just want also to follow other members to welcome the presentations from the 3 organizations. I have some few questions.
all these organizations that they've presented, they spoke about the question of tagging. Tagging. But what is failing is the process. For an example, the Youth League suggests that in terms of the process, the presidency together with the premiers is supposed to be in consultation on how to phase out the provincial youth commissions. But in that level, there is no proposal of a time frame, as an example. So that is the situation. The Youth Commission also indicates something on the tagging, but it doesn't come with a proposal. What are they proposing in terms of tagging? 75 or 76. The Free State speaks about Section 76. You understand? So I want them to propose the process and also the time frame if there are similarities in their own suggestions. Secondly, Chairperson, all the organizations are speaking about the issue of enforceability of the bill. And secondly, and how the agency is going to make other institutions to account. If we still remember, we had a problem with the enforceability of the National Youth Commissions Act. And even in their proposals, in their presentations, there are no specific detailed proposal on how to make the agency to enforce its own function in other departments of the state. Because if we agree that the agency should have an implementary responsibility, so we agree. So the department will also relegate that job to say, no, you have the power to implement, therefore we're not. So what strategy do we give the committee to go with in terms of making sure that departments will be accountable on what they are supposed to implement? So I think they must explain further on that in terms of their own proposal. And then lastly.
Thank you.
Lastly, no, you said two per person.
Yes, you have covered.
Oh, not per presentation.
That's a chance taken. Now, we shall allow, maybe that's the very last one, Mamuluwe. And then, let's just take one. We shall take Mamuluwe and then we get responses and then we'll come back to all of you thereafter.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is just a comment from yesterday while I was here, that majority of presenters are men, and seemingly we are trying to promote the issue of gender, maybe to say the 50%. I don't know whether this forum realizes that only two women have presented from yesterday, but really it looks like it is a bit unfair whether they take the issue of gender serious. It's a question. Thanks.
You all shall have to respond on that very last one, and perhaps even account. The floor is yours, presenters, from Youth Commission, Youth League, and Free State Youth Commission.
Thank you, Chair. From the Youth Commission, there are two colleagues as well, Abongile and Commissioner Mutupi. As an old croak, I don't really have answers to most of these issues. But I think that the first question was around the National Youth Commission is unhappy to be housed in the presidency, and it's also raising the issue of the autonomy around the agents. I think what we're presenting, really, our approach is that we should use our experiences to the advantage of this public hearing. So some of these things, we are really presenting contradictions and dilemmas to the members of the committee, which hopefully will further be investigated, because we do not have answers to everything. But I think the issue here is around the fact that constitutionally the executive has responsibility over policy work. Now, how do you ensure that? Because you don't want to lose the policy advocacy responsibilities, which were mainly the focus of the Youth Commission in the current dispensation, and simply focus on implementation as the agency seemingly would be doing. If you lose that, how do you package it properly? And we did make some proposals around how best you could do that, using some of the existing structures in government to ensure integration and mainstreaming of youth development itself. So it's really about raising contradictions, really, that are there, that the committee has to think about when taking a decision around this legislation or reformulating some of these issues. The other issue around the tagging raised by the Honorable Mukongi is that he's asking us what is the process. We speak about tagging, but we don't speak about the process. We assume that Parliament knows what processes they have to follow when doing different forms of legislation, tagging a Section 76 or a Section 75. What we are raising from our part, again, is an issue of importance, that it's important that this bill talks to inputs by provinces, because youth development is a cross-cutting issue and it's concurrent in our own experience, even if the Constitution doesn't say so. Timeframes, we'll leave that to the political process of the ANC Youth League and other youth organizations that are here in the House and the committee itself. But I agree that it's important that perhaps that a roadmap is developed around, if you start with the process of the national agency, that is Matching Umsobo and the Youth Commission, now develop a roadmap of how you get to the provinces and at the local level, because by that you will also be managing contradictions that are going to exist once you have an agency and a youth commission in a province. The third issue around the enforceability of the Act, I do think that what we are saying here in our proposal is that the issue of enforceability is important for youth development, because our experience is that if you don't enforce, it's not going to happen. We can't forever rely on the goodwill of politicians and other people in government and bureaucrats to drive youth development. Hence, we are saying that enforceability is important. We are making a proposal that we could use the route of Parliament to do that enforceability through a portfolio committee or whatever that is possible, because when it's scanned the surface, we realize that Parliament plays a much more important role that it could play regarding enforceability. Maybe some aspects of it you can use the Kata Asmal report and take it to the Human Rights Commission. Again, if you were to do that, you would still have to define, because the Human Rights Commission, in the current context that it is, it cannot unfortunately play that enforceability. You would have to define and create a framework of how it plays that enforceability, looking specifically on youth development. I think the gender issues really, people must just comply to 50-50 and even more. If it comes to a force, they must be forced to do so. As the NYC, we live by that example. Thank you.
I guess NYC has a 100% here. Youth League?
Okay. I know on the issue of gender, the leadership of the Youth League, the majority are women, young women. Even the Secretary General of the Youth League, the highest position. Yes, I know, I think next to me. No, I think in terms of the question which is directed to the Youth League, why I think it must be located in the office of the President, I think we've been very clear that that's the highest office. But we've been very clear, for example, if you remember when we're still in SRC in high schools, also in universities, we used to have, when we're still at universities, we used to have a document called Cave 2, where you have a document, you go and request to the office of director that you want a bus or a taxi to attend a gathering in other institutions. We're saying we do not want that approach. That's why we're saying there must be, in the office of the president, there must be a youth vote. In terms of programs of agents, they can be not be subjected on requisition. We are requesting now, we are having a meeting in the Eastern Cape, that it must be approved by the Office of the President. We are saying one institution which must be able to implement its own program. That's the autonomy and independence that we are talking about. But the institution that is located in the Office of the President, in terms of the highest authority, we are saying also the people of Parliament, they must know where we are coming from on that view. Not through TKF tools that we used to use. If it's not approved, everyone is going to sleep like the Youth Commission they are doing currently. If a group is not approved for them to go and attend a gathering somewhere in Kenya, all of them, they must go to bed and sleep. Issues of youth development, they are held randomly on issues of TKF tools.
is what we do not agree. The other second issue which is raised, which we do not agree, it is which must be deleted in our minds. It must not even come. It's the issue of youth coordinators. For instance, they understand only June 16 to organize paths. When they define youth development, it's only June 16. When it's June 16, STU youth coordinators, they will come full force because they think it's youth development, a event. We are not moving from that context. That's why I was saying each and every municipality, young people, they must take one taxi or one van from villages to the office of the youth agents. There must be a fully-fledged office that must be able to respond on issues that affect young people. We're not talking about this institution, not a wishy-washy institution. It's an institution that must be able to respond directly on the aspirations of young people. We are moving from that background at the level of the youth, not dilly-dally youth coordinators and so forth, which is the uncoordinated current. We are not even making example of SAFCOC currently. I know Abandu has made a joke, the issues of spoke, as they are currently, but we cannot use that example, but that example does not apply here. We are moving from one juncture in terms of the institutional setup, which has been very clear in terms of our presentation. We are not saying Msobomvu and the Youth Commission, they failed. But the mandate that they were given, it was limited. We are moving from that mandate. We are building an institution which is going to have a broader mandate, which is going to have aspects of making sure that we respond in terms of implementing, also making sure that other government departments, they are enforced to make sure that when they are counted, they implemented the programs of youth development. We are moving from that background at the level of the Youth League. Thank you very much.
Food Safety Commission?
No, thank you.
I see somebody from the Youth League wants to add.
The last issue of the time frames, which it was raised. The issues of time frames, I think all youth commissions throughout the country, also politically, there's a political support that they understand. And we've been very clear to say the issues of time frames, others, they are packing their bags in making sure that they join the agents. We're not saying when they are packing their bags, they are going back to their home. They are packing their bags, they are joining the new institution. Because we've indicated in terms of our presentation that the institution that we're talking about, what we have in the Youth Commission and in Msobomvu in terms of staff is just a fraction. Just very, very small. Everything is going to be absorbed. Everyone, they must take their bags going towards the new institution. It's what we're saying at the level of the Youth League. In terms of time frames, it must just be a process of 2 months politically. Politically, a time frame has been concluded, but through the issues of law, it must be 2 months, December and January. There's no going to be a break. When the parliament is open, the issues must be concluded. The processes, I think the ad hoc committee is well positioned in that aspect of making sure that the issue goes to its own logical conclusion. Thank you very much.
You just introduced yourself.
Thank you very much. My name is Clifford Moseto from the ANC Youth League. I just want to make an addition to what the Deputy President has already said. Quickly, just to start off by indicating that obviously from the onset of the Youth League would have appreciated if this agency assumed the character of a Chapter 9 institution. Unfortunately, we could not achieve that, but I think the door is not closed in the future to consider that, because the issue of enforceability is featuring very, very predominantly during our discussions. Just to respond to that directly, whether the agents would have teeth or not, I think if you look at clause 26(1)(a) to C, it clearly indicates a provision where the president would be empowered to craft regulations, which would, among others, look at the possibility of coming up with penalties, but also to make sure that this animal is going to be able to bite at the end of the day. So there's still a room wherein the issue of enforceability would then be detailed. But also to indicate and respond directly to the question by DA around the location vis-a-vis the budget. The simple answer there is that the two are not mutually exclusive. There's nothing wrong with the agency being located in the highest office in the land and having the same agency getting appropriation directly from Parliament. In fact, that is one of the measures we're putting in place to ensure autonomy. We don't want to create an impression here that the agency is going to be a darling of any department, including the presidency. The agency must be able to come and be critical of every department, including the president's office. So that is the reason why we don't want it to depend on the president's handout. It must get appropriation directly from Parliament so that we are able going to be in the position to speak critically of anybody, including the president's office.
Thank you. Are you done?
No. Lastly, and I'm sure this was going to be said by Comrade Tandi in response to the DA about the question that was asked, why should we be talking about the Bolivian conference having to find their way into our preamble? The reality of the matter is that the ANC is the ruling party, and unfortunately it is the one that would have to craft policies. If you want to determine policies, you must be in government. So for now, the ANC is in government. That is why some of its policies will find their way into this bill. Thank you very much.
Okay. Save for taking off birth, because the issue there, you still have a process of a due diligence that is underway as we speak now. But those are matters that really do not entirely belong here. We cannot pretend as if we know what is going to happen in the next month or two. All those who are in the employ of Umsobomvu Youth Fund and National Youth Commission, they have work to do. They must do that work, and they must do that work diligently. They have no reason to pack any bag. They must just do work as prescribed in their contract, and that's what, as members of Parliament, we are doing here. We are engaged in a process of legislation. We are not engaged in a process of packing bags and calling people to do this or that tomorrow or in 2 months' time. Those are processes that are going to go through their own channel. I think for now we have that duty. Let me just clarify that, especially for sake of us. And then I might also mention the fact that we do have precedences in government. An example here, just for clarity, for other members of Parliament who might be sleeping when National Treasury is introducing three votes. One is National Treasury itself within the Finance Ministry. Another one is Receiver of Revenue. Another one is Statistics South Africa. All of those votes, they belong to that one ministry. So it is doable, therefore, to talk two votes. But that's a subject matter for Finance Ministry and National Treasury to interact with us as an ad hoc committee when dealing with the details of such. I thought let me also just enlighten ourselves in that respect as well. I think we are going to open up another round. Are you still to respond? Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. There were some few questions that were directed to us, Free State Youth Commission directly. The question of the preamble has been responded to, but obviously it was responded to from a different perspective. But the perspective from which the Free State Youth Commission is proposing that we must use this Polokwane resolution is because in June 2006 at the policy conference, part of the things that we said as young people was to look around in the sector and say that while as young people we've come from different political organizations, but the unique thing that brings us all together
is the fact that we are young people. And we looked into what all other young people have said in their respective conferences. And at that time, part of the things that we did mention was to refer even to the IFP conferences on what they said about the youth development issues, the youth ministry. So we looked around, we scanned, and we saw those things. There are realities which are out there. But part of what we then said at the end, as resolutions, was that part of what we must do as young people is to go back into our different areas where we play roles and influence. Now, I don't want to say that maybe the insinuation then is that only young people from the Youth League went out to influence their mother body, because the resolutions of that summit ended up in the resolutions of the mother body of the ANC. Now, if the young people from the DA who came out of that platform did not go back to engage with their mother body, and we don't have those resolutions that we can now build upon as a case, really, it's unfortunate. But to be honest, this issue is not an issue that was premised from the mother bodies. It's an issue that was premised from the sector by us as young people, and that is why we are saying that let young people from other organizations, civil society, business, and so on.
All these people are politics here. They don't discuss what we want to discuss.
Yes. So we are done with that. And then, Chairperson, we did mention the principle of youth development being youth-driven. Now, the question was, which youth? Really, Chairperson, in our understanding of the definition of youth, we are talking of every South African citizen between ages of 14 to 35. And that is as far as it goes. We are not going on to stratify those young people. But if it is a discourse that maybe the person that asked the question is interested in, we can go there. But what we are saying only that it must be youth-driven in the sense that young people themselves must take charge of their destiny in this case. And then coming to the question of Honorable Khothule, whether we seek to bring another agency to do work which ordinarily could be done by existing practitioners. Chairperson, my understanding in this case is that I would love to firstly separate the question of the structure from the function, because the importance is that there must be an existence of youth development functions at local level. And if it means, like the Deputy President from the ANC Youth League said, that a young person must not be subjected to travel over a specified amount of kilometers for a youth development service, yes, we agree with that kind of function, being within that amount or that extent of proximity. But what we are saying is that let us firstly look into what is currently obtaining within the local space. Now, when you look there, you are going to pick up that within the municipalities, you've got youth development coordinators. They are there. Also, when you look within councils, you've got the MMCs responsible for youth development who also sit at council. Now, what we ought to say is, what is it about the current institutional arrangements that makes it not to yield the results that you want out of it? Because if you then respond by introducing yet another structure without capacitating these very structures that you have already, you are likely to suffer a problem of depleted resources, because then you are introducing structures that must still feed on your resources, and at the same time you've got these other people that are also there somehow on the youth development payroll yet not doing youth development work. So let us look into that, and that is exactly what we are arguing, that while we appreciate the existence of the provision of youth development services at local level, before we introduce a structure, let us first say, maybe let us capacitate the youth development officers, look at the weaknesses, the challenges, and strengthen them further. Otherwise, you are going to have an existence of three different role players at the local space doing youth development work, and ultimately, people from within the municipality, they will resign into the youth development agency, and you will still have a problem inside the municipalities of the work that must be done vertically inside those municipalities. So that is what we are saying. And also, Chairperson, to respond to this issue, our understanding is that youth development will always be mainstreamed. So when any premier at the beginning of a year does have state of the province address, part of what she will allude to will also be youth development targets and deliverables that the provincial government will have to do. And then the agency
will have its unique functions that will be done only by the agency, but additional to that, it will still have a role to play oversight, coordinating and monitoring the work of the provinces. And then you can bring it down. But my challenge is that at a local level, the amount of work that will have to be done from a coordination point of view as opposed to an implementation point of view is not that much. Hence, I'm saying that let us not legislate the existence of the agency at a local level. If from a business plan point of view we see a need to establish it, yes, then it can. But if we are saying that it must come for the sake of being there, then in a very remote municipality in the Free State, Muhukari, where there are already challenges, you are going to have a youth development agency across the offices of the municipality being resourced, but the municipality itself being very poor. Now, where does the element of mainstreaming come in there? And Chairperson, I think this is something that we are then saying that from a point of view of addressing the functions, let us not throw the structure, because sometimes the response is not a structure, but either other instruments that can actually unlock the potential which that function can give. From the other question was the development agency role in the five districts. Chairperson, currently within every district, you have what is called the district coordinators. Their role is supposed to be to coordinate the work of youth development within the respective districts. And then some of the districts would have about three or four municipalities. We agree with the existence of a youth development agency functions at the district level, because sometimes operating from the level of the province, we have noted that in a province that is very vast, you might have a problem where those unique functions that are administered only at a provincial level, they become a little too far from the service recipients. So we think that you can pull the agency a little bit lower than the provincial sphere to exist at the district level, but you don't need to pull it necessarily by legislation to exist at every local level, and that is our submission in that regard. With regard to the question that enjoins all of us around gender, Chairperson, it is just unfortunate that the Chairperson and myself are male, but I'm sure the Free State Youth Commission is doing rather quite well when it comes to gender representativity. We are sitting in the provincial clusters, and part of the directive that we have been instructed to fast-track is the 50% representation of young women in all SMS positions. We are part of that, and I think that we might, Chairperson, by default, have triggered this observation, because we are the ones that are saying that part of the principles that must be brought in is gender inclusivity. So really, Chairperson, I think we have been, while we are all male, but I'm sure we are female at heart, and we subscribe to the gender strategy. Thanks.
I guess what the CEO of the Free State Youth Commission is saying, they certainly do have the feminine touch in whatever they do. Ladies and gentlemen, we are certainly not going to be able to conclude all the issues here and now. We are still going to engage in a thoroughgoing discussion tomorrow that is going to entertain all these presentations, having to factor them in a bill that we have in front of ourselves. In improving the bill for the better, so that when we go clause by clause on Thursday, at least we shall have factored all of those submissions. We're not doing this for sake of it or for a PR or as a PR exercise. For sure, we are doing all of this that we are doing, very good work, of course, for a sole reason of improving the bill in front of ourselves. That's the major and the sole reasoning behind all of what we're doing here now.
Can you also clarify, these people who are going to be the implementers of this thing before they go?
What do you mean?
There's certain things that they've learned that we need to clarify here before, so that they understand process, procedure, and all that.
You wanted to raise something quickly, Abongile, before we get further?
No, I just wanted to make an addition to the NYC submission that was made by the CEO. In the bill, there's quite a lot of mentioning of mainstreaming in the National Youth Policy. which implies that there's a particular role that government in particular needs to play, but there's no specific mention of government as a state entity and how we're going to institutionalize its development in the department. So we just want to make an addition that at least include the institutionalizing of youth development through the directorate and how it will the directorate will interface with the agency. I think it's very important for operationalizing moving forward. Thank you.
Mrs. Tobias Pogor, you wanted to add something?
Thank you, Chair. I first need to start with Tulule Jaka. You see, in the Youth Commission of the Free State, the chairperson is male, the deputy is male, and the CEO is male. Well, they are female at heart. We hear that today. We'll leave it at that. Chair, I also need to also say that the pluralism that the Youth League used today is better than that of Predi Mutupe. You know, when Predi Mutupe was speaking yesterday, I thought about Zef Mutupe. I think he was, well, let me not comment on that one. Let me start with, you know, Bongani Mkhonki made this meeting to go astray. For 10 minutes or 15 minutes, the presenters were busy talking about institutional arrangements and mechanism, which is a policy imperative, which you can't legislate. I thought the document that you prepared, the Youth Commission, the research document, was relating to the policy imperatives about transitional arrangements, which need to be discussed. So I'm shocked that we took 15 minutes thinking about something that's not going to be in the legislation at all. That's the issue that relates to time frames and all that. You need to, in your policy document, you just spoke about it, that it is not clear how are we going to deal with that. So we need to sit down at some point. There's an oversight mechanism here in the form of JMC. It will have to deal with that. The presentation will have to be made on how is this going to be implemented. It's not going to feature in the legislation. Two, I think we need to clarify to the Youth Commission the issue of tagging is a history. If you are here in this meeting talking about this legislation, then tagging is it's a something of the past. It means this legislation has already been tagged in the manner in which it has been. Maybe she will want to tell them how it's been tagged so that people live here understanding that we can't tag it again. It has already been tagged. And the issue of establishing an oversight mechanism here, you are simply suggesting that we must have another portfolio committee. People have been saying, and I said it yesterday, if you say there must be a portfolio committee that deals with the appropriation, you are saying that you must change the rules of parliament, I don't know by when. You need to be realistic about time, because it means it must go to the rules committee must agree and put an oversight mechanism. Whereas already we do have the JMC, it looks at vote one. It will look at vote one. If there is limitations that are identified, say them, so that we can empower the JMC to deal with its shortcomings. Don't create another committee of parliament just to look at your appropriation. I don't know, we'll call vote number 40. Vote 40. But it's in the precedence. I don't know what we're trying to achieve. So, for us to be able to implement this legislation now, when we pass it, it is in the precedence. I think that's what it was proposed. We shouldn't put another oversight mechanism that will delay the process. And the issue of scheduling of the agents, you should understand. People say Chapter 9, you've got a feature at Clifford. There's a business enterprise feature in this agency. How will it then be a Chapter 9 institution? You see, that's where the limitations are. That's why we said, we need to put in context what this agency will be, because it won't be like any other agency that is subjected to the Companies Act, that is subjected to the Demutualization Act. We will have to give it a special context. Therefore, because you'll be doing business, it can't be a Chapter 9. It's something that we need to discuss, and I don't know, Chetason, whether we will be able to do that tomorrow with a legal advice that we need to schedule it differently from all the schedules that all these other business enterprises are, because it's got a unique feature. It's got both the feature of a schedule 3B and A at the same time. So I'm leaving it to us for a later discussion. So I'm saying, let's go back to the policy research document. Let's identify transitional arrangements. If that needs to be discussed, it will be something that will be discussed by the JMC.
Well, of course, Faith is here, and their committee, I see Mr. Dao sitting there. I think they can bring together how they're going to deal with this thing. And Sulu Jack has got a point about legislating at a local level. We're not doing that. We're not repealing all provincial acts now. We can make an amendment later. We said that, given our legal advice sitting there, she said that you can't do it now. You can't repeal all the provincial acts when you're merging these two for now. And we said we still have room for that to an amendment later. And this becomes relevant that the presidency and the premiers must sit down and see how they're going to deal with these provincial institutions that we have in the current judge, given the fact that we can't repeal them now. So note these issues. It's issues that we'll be discussing. Then we'll make clear recommendations on how we're going to deal with it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Honorable Chairperson. And I'd like to congratulate the Youth League on recognizing that you were so president of the Youth League in your days. Gosman Fawnzi, they recognized you as a past president. Thank you. There's just one thing that I'd like to ask, because, like, I don't sit on your ad hoc committee and I don't sit on the national committee, but I'm a chairperson of a portfolio committee. Our greatest wish, and I must make any bond, is that this bill should be tagged 76, because we'd like to have public hearings on the ground. Because we discussed it within our committee meeting that was tagged 75, and we felt that it has a bearing on the provinces. So tomorrow when you discuss, because we won't be around, think about the recommendation of tagging 76. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we obviously have a few issues to deliberate upon on this bill. I think what we must do for now, we must appreciate the fact that organizations and institutions have made their submissions. The drafters have taken notes, and they are going to assist us tomorrow when we deliberate on these issues. I think what Mrs. Tobias Pokolo was doing was beginning that process. We are not there yet. I hear what you are saying, Ms. Maha. Again, this is a matter for deliberation in tomorrow. Mrs. Tobias Pokolo is correct. This bill has already been tagged. Tagging may take another process to arrive at. So we are not engaging in that debate for now. It's good that the issues are raised, but we're not concluding in that discussion. As I said, we are deliberating on the issues tomorrow. But what we will do now, without taking any more hands, we'll take a break for 15 minutes. When we come back, we shall allow the Youth Chamber, the Youth Council, and the Young Communist League to do their presentations. We'll do all of those presentations at once, and then we make notes and then come back for discussion. And I shall all ask them when we come back here that they shall occupy this seat here so that we don't waste time. We'll be back here by 12. Unfortunately, I don't know whether Parliament is thinking that because we are dealing with youth here that there be no tea. Because maybe some of us left very late and early morning, that we only have cold drinks. There is no hot drink for now, until we come back at 12. Thank you. Council for the Blind. COPE has finally coped. And seem to be on a mission, those ones. Can everybody who is expected to present come and fulfill and rather fill this seat here in front of us? Nobody from the youth brigade yet. You are here. Can you come? Are you from which one, Victor? Freedom Front Plus. I'll start off. I was just informed by our youth in business that they are still reproducing their document whilst waiting for that document. We shall get the youth council to. And Young Communist League, the floor is yours. The rule continues. We'll take notes, and then after four presentations, we take questions that seek clarity. And also, we shall take 15 minutes for each presentation.
Thanks, Chairperson. I was going to remark that the YCL wanted to be here yesterday, but we were dealt with by inefficient capitalist administration. So just to clarify that. But just to start off, we would like to indicate, first of all, that we welcome this opportunity for public consultation. But further to that, that our submission is not so much to deal with the bill itself, but to complement it where we find it lacking. And in this regard, the submission is motivated by three things, really. Firstly, the need for a seamless and coordinated approach to youth development, both horizontally and vertically. Secondly, the role, the functions and powers of the agency and its relation to the executive arm of the state. But over above this is the view that the YCL holds that there is a need to structure the form of the National Youth Development Agency in a manner that makes it a Chapter 9 institution in the 1996 Constitution. This will therefore ensure that this institution of youth development is vested with powers that will enable it to coordinate, monitor, evaluate, and review the implementation of the integrated youth development strategy. Additionally, the NYDA should have the right of recourse on youth development issues, as well as the right to subpoena any entity, be it government, business, or civil society, on matters related to youth development. In this particular regard, the three contentions and tenets of our submission stem from the shortfalls of the current youth development institutions, particularly the National Youth Commission and the Umsobomvu Youth Fund. These include, amongst others, as widely captured by research, the fragmented approach to youth development as evidenced by the existence of separate and divergent mandates and legislation for provincial youth commissions and national youth commission, as well as among provinces themselves. Overlapping and uncoordinated mandates between the UYF and NYC, insufficient visibility and accessibility of the two institutions, thus contributing to the lack of youth ownership of these institutions. Related to the previous point, the prolonged absence of constitutional forums, thereby rendering the commissions devoid of participatory democracy and accountability to its constituency. The lack of institutional mechanisms to hold various state departments and the presidency to account for non-compliance and non-implementation of youth development work. A factor due in large part to the institution's embeddedness or the embedded location within the government's bureaucracy. The lack of training and support for young people by the Umsobomvu Youth Fund on how they should access development finance, But further to that, the Umsobomvu's open operation like a commercial bank, taking limited risk and using very commercialized financing policies, thereby excluding rather than including the majority of young people, most of which are working class. These weaknesses, therefore, inform the approach of vying for a unitary body with a defined vision and institutional structure at all spheres of governance, national, provincial, and local. This must be done in a manner that is cognizant of the peculiarities of different localities in the form of provinces and municipalities. It must address the fragmented and federal approaches in the form of the present provincial youth commissions and municipal arrangements on youth development, which is, by the way, narrowed to policy streamlining on an advisory basis. As such, the bill must make provisions for the repeal of the fragmented institutional arrangements at the provincial and municipal levels in favor of integration. The idea of the National Youth Development Agency to be a Chapter 9 institution must be given a strong consideration. This will give the agency enforcement powers, given the experience of in-transition departments, provinces, and municipalities. On the vertical relations between the NYDA and its provincial and local expressions, the YCL holds the view that there is an inherent shortfall that accompanies the location of the bill in Chapter 4, Section 75 of the Constitution, which speaks of ordinary bills not affecting provinces. As it means that current institutional mechanisms dealing with youth development at provincial and local levels will rather, as page 21 of the bill says, not be affected by this particular process. The implication is that the proposed provincial board and local coordinators, which are but provincial and municipal expressions of the agency, will be established parallel to existing youth development structures in provinces. Now, the consequences for this are twofold. Firstly, the lack of coordination and fragmentation is characterized by existing mechanisms is likely to continue. Secondly, there is bound to be duplication of mandates and tasks between parallel youth development structures at both provincial and local levels. This stems directly from the bill's silence on the repealing of the different provincial youth commission acts, a point to which we'll return later. And this is a fact directly attributed to the bill's location within Section 75 of the Constitution. This means that the reasons motivating the formation of the NYDA, which are to usher in an institution that will ensure a unitary, integrated, seamless, and coordinated approach to youth development, will not be fulfilled through the institutional framework as tabled in the draft bill. On the horizontal relationship between local coordinators and local government, the proposal on local coordinators raises its own set of contradictions. Firstly, there is no clearly spelled out mechanisms on how local coordinators will interface with local government as a sphere of government wherein participatory democracy should be deeply entrenched. The bill is rather silent on the interaction of local coordinators of the agency and local units that are already in existence at local levels. This might create a situation whereby the latter and the former operate parallel to each other and on duplicated mandates and resources. The need for strong presence, visibility, and efficiency of the agency at municipal level cannot be overestimated, as this is a sphere of government most proximate to young people, particularly the working class and the poor. The bill as it stands falls short in this regard. Additionally, the ambiguity relating to the manner and origin of the mandates of the local coordinators needs to be considered. This will result in a situation whereby local coordinators have little or no interface with youth and operate on the basis of non-constituency-derived and driven mandates. This top-down approach defeats the principle of youth participation, accountability, transparency, and accessibility of the youth development institutions as stipulated in the draft bill. Therefore, in line with the proposal of a full-fledged institutional structure at local level, the idea of local aid coordinator must be abandoned. The local level structure must be fully resourced in terms of management and implementing staff. The erection of the National Youth Fund to give it a local expression must eliminate previous experiences of an inaccessible Umsobomvu Youth Fund to young people, especially the poor and rural based. On the functions of the president vis-a-vis the agency, the YCL is of the view that there are unwarranted powers that are vested in the executive as it relates to the agency. For instance, on the president's powers regarding the appointment of the CEO in consultation with the board, it's the view of the YCL that the CEO must be appointed by the president through the recommendation of the National Assembly as following what Chapter 9 institutions generally follow. on the accountability of the board. The accountability of the agency must be done through the status of youth report to the National Assembly as opposed to the President, as stipulated in the bill, on an annual basis. The bill does not outline the process by which the boards will be appointed, except that it shall be appointed by the President at the national level, and that provincial management board shall be appointed by the President in consultation with premiers at the provincial level. It is our view that the bill must outline a participatory democratic process by which the boards will be appointed, taking into consideration that constituency to which it is designed needs to be involved. In addition, the appointment process should integrate the procedure by which governing boards for Chapter 9 institutions are appointed. As a way of dealing with some of these shortfalls, there are two scenarios that we are presenting. The first one, and most favorable to us, is the National Youth Development Agency forming part of institutions for the strengthening of constitutional democracy as defined in Chapter 9 of the Constitution. All of the above points to the fact that the NYDA would be better suited if located in Chapter 9, provision of the Constitution, in a manner that makes it part of the state institution supporting constitutional democracy. This would require the amendment of the Constitution to make such an accommodation. Accordingly, the agency would be vested with similar powers as those shared by Chapter 9 institutions, and I will not repeat them that are listed there. But further to that, the certain clauses of the draft will already share the same tenets with this Chapter 9 proposal option, particularly Clause 10 and Clause 11, which address matters of disqualification, removal from office, and resignation of director of the board, and resolution on the removal of the director of the board, respectively. The state of young people in development terms also gives credence and rationale to this proposal, in the sense that accounting for 36% of the country's population, young people have amongst their ranks 70% unemployment, crisis, levels of poverty, high HIV rates, lack of access to general and higher education, high levels of participation in criminal activities, as well as high levels of drug and alcohol abuse. These manifest differently according to class, speciality, gender, as well as race. Combined with the imminent youth bulge that South Africa is currently experiencing, this calls for a concerted and coordinated effort to deal with youth development in South Africa. Further, a youth such as that broadly characterized above may not be able to see some of the opportunities afforded by our constitutional democracy. It is in this light that a case can be advanced that youth development is logically part and parcel of advancing and consolidating our constitutional democracy. Against this backdrop, the bill therefore needs to be proposed under Section 74 of the Constitution, as we are proposing it to fall under the ambit of Constitution amending bills. Second option, less favorable but nonetheless that could be explored, is tabling the bill under Section 76 of the Constitution, which covers ordinary bills affecting provinces. The rationale in this regard is that the overarching vision is not only to merge the NYC and UYF, but to restructure youth development machinery in the country. Indeed, pursuing the former would result in the preservation of the status quo under a new legislative provision. In this regard, the overall mandate is the alignment of youth development machinery in the country. While this might not be completed before the end of the calendar year, in 2008, it would be worthwhile to at least complete it before the end of the financial year, March 2009. It would therefore be prudent to undertake one comprehensive exercise that incorporates restructuring and alignment of youth development machinery at all spheres, so as to ensure that at the end of the exercise, we do indeed realize a national youth development agency that will ensure a seamless integration, sustainability, and responsiveness to the demands and aspirations of South Africa's youth through the merger of the two institutions mentioned above. The idea of a unitary, coordinated, and integrated approach to youth development must find legislative expressions, and the tabling of the bill under Section 25 defeats this noble aim. We are aware and we are not averse to the gradual change in terms of the NYDA process, but we are rather skeptical about how such gradualism will be advanced if there is no legislative framework in place to enable this. So by way of conclusion, Chairperson, it is important to note that the YCL appreciates the rigor through which the creation of this agency is assumed. We are, however, mindful of the fact that in its current form, the bill facilitates the process for the replication of the status quo insofar as youth development is concerned, and therefore requires careful attention and consideration.
Thank you. That was the YCL, and the name of the presenter is going to be announced very soon by the presenter herself.
Yeah, the name is Pindile Kuneni.
Thank you, Pindile. We shall then follow with the youth chamber. The business is still struggling. I'm not too sure if they are really making money. Youth council? Sorry? Okay. Can we get IFP Youth Brigade? Name and also 15 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The name is Ndrandra Hadeva. In making an introduction, I would wish to say the Inkatha Freedom Party Youth Brigade welcomes the opportunity to make an input on the National Youth Development Agency Bill. Hadeva. Okay. We are also very keen to present this document orally.
Do you have your presentation circulated?
Well, we will...
Can it be reproduced? Did we receive it? Can we also have it reproduced as well? Because the committee secretary says she did not receive it. Who else is ready with a submission having been reproduced? If you were to be allowed to continue, so it would then mean that would allow others to continue, because no one of you has a copy reproduced for reference. 20? Is that the Word document? Eh? The Word document. Okay. So it's on page 21. Thank you. You can proceed, Santa.
Well, thank you. I was saying the Inkatha Freedom Party Youth Brigade welcomes the opportunity to make an input on the National Youth Development Agency. We are also very keen to present this document orally to the relevant committee. The IFP Youth Brigade is the youth wing of Inkatha Freedom Party, together with its student chapter, the South African Democratic Student Movement. It represents many marginalized youth as well as students in tertiary institutions. Youth development and mobilization of young people to take part in the affairs of the country is the core business of the IFP Youth Brigade, with most of our young people living in daily realities of poverty, retrenchment, joblessness, low wages, crime, HIV/AIDS, and second-class education. The Youth Brigade has been actively campaigning for the creation of a well-resourced youth ministry that will implement youth development. Our area of agreement is we fully support the decision to repeal the National Youth Commission Act and to disband the Umsobo Youth Fund. As far back as 2003, the Youth Brigade has been actively campaigning for the dissolution of the National Youth Commission, since it failed to carry out its mandate. The Umsobomvu Youth Fund, which was created in 2001 to fund youth development, also had serious shortcomings that left scores and scores of young people marginalized and excluded from its programs. If we are to improve the lives of all young people, we strongly believe that an integrated strategy, one of the objects of this bill, is the most appropriate approach to youth development in South Africa. We fully embrace the principles of youth development outlined in Section 4 of the bill that are underpinned by an understanding of the linkages between our past, present, and future. But our area of concern is the classification of the bill and participation. The country's constitution establishes the participatory nature of our democracy. However, we feel that many young people have not been sufficiently consulted to enable them to give input to the content of the bill. Despite the bill being classified as Section 75 bill, the IFP Youth Brigade is of the view that the committee should conduct public hearings at a provincial level to accommodate concerns of youth and to enhance youth participation at provincial, regional, and local levels. Many organizations and projects operate at local and regional levels rather than national level. Although it is said that the bill has no provincial implication, Section 6.1D of the bill makes provision for the agency to establish offices and appoint necessary personnel at provincial and local levels. The Youth Brigade's experience has shown that consultation with young people is vital if they are to be encouraged to participate in initiatives that can benefit them. Section 4.1 under Principles of Youth Development states that youth development initiatives must endeavor to recognize and address the peculiar needs of rural youth, and their communities. We therefore feel it is inappropriate and contradictory that this bill has not been referred to the National House of Traditional Leadership in terms of Section 18.1A of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act of 2003. This should be done to gather input on peculiar concerns of young people located in traditional and rural communities. Not only to comment on expression provision, but also to identify crucial omissions in the bill. Composition and appointment and conditions of service of the board. We strongly suggest that the board members be members of youth formations and not civil servants. This institution would have to have young people whose youthful energy and youth language do solve youth problems. Youth development and youth agencies should be led by youth themselves so that they develop a youth mindset. Many youth institutions put youth in their place instead of encouraging them and treating them like adults. We suggest that the youth organizations and structures should be asked to make recommendations instead of the bureaucratic selection processes, functions of the president. The IFP Youth Brigade is of the view that all the functions designated to the president should be performed by a fully-fledged youth minister who will be solely dedicated to all youth affairs. We therefore propose that all the functions stated in Section 5 of the bill should be executed by such minister instead of the president. The word president must be substituted by the word minister throughout the bill. In such an instance, the minister will report directly to Parliament. With some 39% of South African society aged between 14 and 35 years, young people clearly comprise a substantial part of South African society, so it becomes imperative that there should be a specific minister devoted to youth development in order to maximize effectiveness of implementation and intervention. We also propose that the word may in Section 5.1 be substituted by the word must. There should be no discretion, but the incumbent should be obliged by the law to publish the integrated National Youth Development Policy in the Gazette. functions of the agency. Our view is that such a youth ministry should have all the powers relating to youth development, including the implementation of the integrated youth development strategy. We propose that Section 6.1a should be amended to include the word implement. One of the major weaknesses of the National Youth Commission was that it was toothless, since it did not have any powers to implement youth development. There was a lack of synergy between policy development and implementation, and there was no provision for recourse in case certain implementation agencies failed to comply. We therefore feel this new legislation must empower the agency with implementation powers. The outcome of the National Youth Convention held on June 2006 was that the Youth Development Agency would provide a framework to massively and urgently respond to high incidence of youth unemployment through the implementation of the National Youth Service Program, Youth Learnerships, Expanded Public Works Program, and other national development initiatives. The 10-year review report of government also proposed that a one-stop shop youth development agency be set up as an institutional response to the implementation of youth policy in South Africa. In line with this resolution, we strongly believe that if we are to improve the lives of all youth, implementation of youth development should be one of the fundamental objects of the bill. The control and management of affairs of agency. Section 9.4 should be amended to include the phrase political persuasion. This is in line with our view that board members should be appointed from members of various youth formations to reflect representativity of the youth sector. Similarly, we are of the view that provincial boards contemplated in Section 20 of the bill should be constituted by members of youth formations to reflect youth needs of each province. In conclusion, as matters now stand, the majority of young people are marginalized and demobilized. This is clearly evident from their low turnout in previous national polls and government programs. The real issue facing young people is that speaking to government is practically impossible. Hence, their belief is that the youth policies have no impact on their lives. Above all other things, the IFP Youth Brigade contends that what frustrates our democracy and demobilizes young people is the lack of implementation of youth development. The IFP Youth Brigade is of the view that youth development will best be served by the creation of a youth-led and well-resourced youth ministry. We trust that the call for public submissions on this bill means that the voice of the youth and other interest bodies will be heard and accommodated. I thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. That was the IFP's in Tanzania, Hadebe, who consistently refers to me as Chairman. And I guess you are going to, you can switch off your mic. Sorry, I take it you're not going to be responding. Thanks. We want to get FF Plus Youth. We do have a presentation in a word form in page. You know, we have to go through such. Should be page 26. 25, sorry. It's written there, number 3, but on page 26. Are there still some files out there for members in particular? In the meantime, we shall allow just the name again. You're not James, huh?
My name is James Chairperson.
Right. Just mention the full name.
My name is James King Chairperson. No relation to Ken Jacken.
You can go ahead, Mr. Kemp.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to continue where the gentleman from the IFB ended. You referred to board members reflecting representativity. As a youth organization, the FS Plus Youth, appreciate the fact that government takes youth issues seriously and that it understands the necessity of ensuring youth representation on all government levels and considers the youth views when it comes to policy development. Now, we all agree that empowerment of young people can only start with good education, and good education without opportunity or the deprivation of it is pointless. It is therefore of the utmost importance that governments within the current and historic context of a country develops and continually improve the chances of all young South Africans to become politically and economically empowered. Now, this is the only way in which we as young South Africans will be able to move away from the disparities of the past to an equal and equitable future for all our people. Now, today we are discussing a very important and apt issue, which is the National Youth Development Agency Bill. Now, before commenting on this, we feel it is appropriate, or would be appropriate, to concisely report to the committee what the views and experience of the FS Plus Youth and our constituency have been with similar youth organizations. Now, I'd like to refer to the Usubungu Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission. This will highlight appropriate issues to be addressed in the primary proposal that we are discussing today. Now, as many members of the committee will know, the FS Plus Youth views South Africa as a diverse community in which diversity should be respected and utilized to increase our country's competitiveness in all aspects. Politically, to also represent the Afrikaner youth of the country. Now, currently, the Afrikaner youth feels excluded and marginalized by the government due to a variety of policies and approaches towards them. Perhaps the most apt description would be to state that young Afrikaners feel, and indeed are, excluded from those programs of government aimed to give representation and to provide economic opportunities. One need only to look at the representativity of the Youth Commission on national, provincial, and local government level to ascertain that up until now there has been little place for minorities in these bodies. The way in which these bodies are constituted allows for exclusion. As a consequence, no representations of other communities or indeed or ideas are being catered for. If, for example, the Afrikaner youth is not represented, the legitimacy of these commissions comes into question. The effect is that those whose views are not represented withdraw from acknowledging these forums. This seriously hampers the commission's ability to draw up a youth agenda that is 100% representative of the young people of South Africa. Consequently, it becomes irrelevant. If the Youth Commission or any other body is not representative of the views and aspirations of all the youth, then the question of accountability arises. Now, over the years, we have found little feedback from the Commission side on which successes and achievements they've had. Our experience of the National Youth Commission has been that they are inaccessible and unapproachable to ordinary young people. For example, after several inquiries, we could still not establish who the board of directors of the National Youth Commission are. We also refer to a website that is still under construction. So I don't know whether anyone has seen the National Youth Commission's website recently. Anyway, that aside, recently representatives of the FS Plus Youth also attended celebrations hosted by the Youth Commission in Guguletu. Great celebrations, got a free T-shirt. But the majority of the speakers were former members of the UDF, and the video footage shown there was that of the ANC's pre-1994 struggle. Now, surely this cast a shadow on the Commission's claim to inclusivity. Now, for the Suvumba Youth Fund. Now, the Suvumba Youth Fund aims to assist young people in empowering themselves economically. Now, with closer inspection, however, it is clear that the fund is an exclusive, non-white organization aiming to assist only one segment of the community. Now, we refer you to the numerous pamphlets that are available at the fund's offices. In it, it clearly states that in order to be eligible for funding, a person, and I quote, must be a previously disadvantaged South African youth or woman. Now, given the interpretation of the empowerment policies of government, it is clear that young white South Africans, and particularly the Afrikaner youths, are not eligible. Now, this is a contradiction since, first of all, young people under the age of 35 constitute the majority 75% of the unemployed in South Africa. No young white person unable to vote before 1994 can be held liable for any past transgression. If so, we might as well be dragged to the TRC. And to be born after 1994, when one cannot be regarded as being part of the previously disadvantaged group. This concept is a generational issue. Since the majority of the disadvantaged are from the middle-aged groups, the effect of this policy is that Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa's children qualify for assistance, but a white child from a poor background does not qualify. Who is then really the disadvantaged? Now, according to the 2008 report of the Usubumba Youth Fund, there is not a single white representative on the board of directors. The Usubumba Youth Fund's mission is to, and I quote, promote the creation of jobs and skills development for South Africa's young people. The question is, which young people are being referred to here? Now, just from the composition of the board of the fund, it appears that only young people that are relevant to the fund, or the only young people that are relevant to the fund, are young black South Africans. Now, if the Afrikaner youth people, or the question is, if the Afrikaner youth people are being regarded as part of South Africa's youth. Now, despite the fact that the Afrikaner community is a major contributor to the tax income of the country, their children are being excluded from the fruits of the tax burden they carry. This is not right. Over the past 15 years, the government has been quick to demand equitability in structures and organizations that was not representative of the country's racial profile. Today, the tables are turned, and we as young white South Africans are excluded from opportunities. We might have argued that we are underrepresented in government youth initiatives, but this is not true. We are totally unrepresented. Surely the committee will agree that this is a situation that cannot be tolerated. How can minorities gain access to resources if the very rules of these organizations prevent us to do so? Although it is not part of the discussion, I would like to briefly mention that the same frustrations regarding tertiary bursary funds also apply, but that's beside the point. Five points that I'd like the committee to consider. The functions that the NYDA, if the NYDA were to call into life, to be asked in the future, are to be more inclusive to the entire demographics. The directors and management of these organizations are not represented, referring to the previous organizations, are not representative and should also be more inclusive. Politically based appointments should not be tolerated. The agendas should be realigned to include all of South Africa's youth communities, and accountability of the organizations should become a priority. The Freedom Front Bus would like to see a guarantee from the NYDA that Afrikaner entrepreneurs will also benefit from future projects. We would also like to see the Afrikaner youth included in the managerial structures of these organizations. If these bodies are truly there to promote the creation of jobs and skills development for all of South Africa's young people, then it must demographically represent all of South Africa's youth, not just the majority. And when one of the largest economic crises since the 1930s is experienced, we can't afford to show entrepreneurs away just because they are too white, nor can we deprive any community representation on any forum. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kemp. I would imagine here, I'm thinking as I'm seated here, wherein we would be talking about, the non-blacks. In other words, I think we should desist from usage of a language that was spoken to before 1994 that talks about non-white. We're learning, because I would imagine somebody else would come up and say, all the non-blacks. Now, those are some of the issues raised by Mr. Kemp. And again, I would wish us to try by all means and resist any temptation of engaging. We are equally not in an oversight exercise, so that we are going to have youth commission and Sobong for Youth
you know, responding on issues, whether we are failing or not. You know, yes, we are having a very thin line of what we are expected to do here and with that exercise. Okay. We'll have the last one and then go through questions that are seeking clarity. We shall give the floor to Congress of the People. I see in the presentation here it says COI. Not a decoy. Okay. The presentation is coming. I am informed that it has been, or it is in the process of being reproduced. I'm not too sure why is business's presentation taking this long. Is it here? Okay, what is clear is that all of them are being reproduced. We'll hand over to COI. Both, and then we'll revisit those when we compare with the presentation that is going to be coming very soon. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Anele Mta. I'm here to present the input of the Congress of the People Youth Movement Sector with regard to the establishment of the National Youth Development Agency. As we forward this input with regard to the establishment of this National Youth Development Agency, we wish to first want to quote one of the quotes that we acknowledge as clauses that we align ourselves with from the state of the national address that was done by the former president, Mr. Thabo Mbeki, where it says, "More than any other time, the situation that confronts our nation and country and the tasks that we have set ourselves demand that we inspire and organize all our people to act together as one, to do all the things that have to be done, understanding that in a very real sense, all of us together hold our own future in our hands." Close quote. We refer to this clause saying that South Africa as a developing country ought to engage on the youth development aspect as vigorous as possible. And this can only be achieved, we believe, when government departments have a clear role to play that they discharge on the youth development agenda. This we say notwithstanding some of the areas that we have since come to note on the proposed bill of the establishment of the National Youth Development Agency. One of those areas that we have come to note is the aspect of the proposed boards that are going to be operating provincially, which are not necessarily able, the bill is not necessarily able to give a clear, distinct role of what exactly is going to be the role of those provincial boards, considering that you are talking about the one that will be nationally placed, and already as of now, you are having provincial youth commissions that have got commissioners, and the bill is unable to respond to the question that says, what do you then do with the current set of things? We're also noting that on the provisions of the bill, applying to designated entities, we do not find a very clear, it's kind of very, very much vague to us, what is it exactly that it talks directly with that particular aspect. And it then gives us a worry that says there might then be a situation where likely to enforce and see those kind of things happening might have its own challenges. The bill to us, we view it as wrongly tagged, because we are of the view that the section that this sitting has opted to be convened by is kind of a short circuit setting, because we believe that as a South African young people, they've got every right and every reason to make sure that they forge their inputs and they get their inputs well represented in this kind of establishment, because this is the development agency that we're saying it's going to represent the interests of young people. It's going to serve the interests of young people. It's going to deliver on the needs of young people. Then we further say, for it to have this kind of set up where the broader consultation is not necessarily being followed, we think it's being conducted in a manner where the representation of the ideas and the interests of young people might not necessarily be able to find expression. And we are saying we would then have a situation where we would appreciate if this would be connected in this fashion, but further lens to the NCOP, because we are thinking that failure to do those, to make sure that it is broadly consulted, then it could render the bill to be unlawful, and at some point it might be able to be challenged by young people, because it is their prerogative, right, and it is their own right to make sure that whatever that is carried in the bill is talking to them directly and is by no means talking on behalf of them, but directly on what young people want to say. Also, we take note of the fact that the National Youth Fund that is being referred to be replacing, that will be replacing the Umsobongo Youth Fund, we are unable to understand exactly whether it is going to be a separate legal entity within the agency or the agency, because you find that already as we're talking now, we're talking about Umsobongo Youth Fund, that is a Section 21, and we're unable to understand whether then you are to have the National Youth Fund in an agency form, or you are to have the National Youth Fund in an entity form. So we are unable to have that clear distinction of which exactly is going to be the clear title or the clear institutional name or a tag that is going to be given to that particular youth fund. We also want to raise the issue that says, as it is, as I have said currently, that the Umsobongo Youth Fund is a Section 21 company, and we are to believe from the bill the agency would be a statutory body. It is yet not clear whether the loss of corporate status of the Umsobongo Youth Fund will affect the activities of the proposed National Youth Fund as well. And we are saying for cabinet role and process, we believe that the participation of the Ministry of Labour in the process under which the Umsobongo Youth Fund falls is less than it is an issue that we are saying it's an ideal plan. As much as protocol might dictate otherwise, but we believe that the Minister of Labour as an executive authority and shareholder representative of Umsobongo Youth Fund should be in place to be involved directly in the process. Then as our proposal, as the Congress of the People Youth Wing, we are saying, based on these youth development changes, we are saying to us, the youth development remains a critical planning tool around which government and its social partners should run around to achieve tangible deliverables on the youth development agenda. This should find expression in all spheres of government in order to deliver broad beneficiation to young people. In the proposed National Youth Development Agency, we say the capacitation and strengthening of the agency must be done with the capacity that is required to measure youth interest and programs, where we are saying we must see an availability of resources and capacity to provinces, as they are the sphere that we believe they are within which most young people rely on for youth development, and the administration personnel that must be enough as well to execute the task awaited. We say there must be a clear provision of the powers of the agency to champion, coordinate, and implement youth development agenda, as well as power to enforce youth development prioritization across all government departments, and do away with the mere lobbying, as this we have seen it frustrating the operations of the National Youth Commission with little cooperation from government departments on youth issues. The National Youth Development Agency should also have an intervention measure to specifically deal with youth microeconomic needs, which must be loosened to benefit the needy masses of young people, where we are saying most of these should be user-friendly and easy to access, more especially to those in rural and disadvantaged areas. This will be against the strain that young people had had to suffer, ending up with their entrepreneurial desires shuttered down due to a lot of sophisticated requirements when advancing to become business people. The economic intervention measure must work towards uplifting and helping young people to advance their economic desires, but this must be visible and find expression in the strategic planning processes, as this will ensure integrated coordination and implementation. The primitive rurality and vastness of some of our province is not a situation that is going to change by any time near the future. So the circumstances that are compelling reasons for this call of the agency may still arise, and we might end up overhauling everything if this is not considered. It is therefore important that integrated holistic approach must be adopted by government, where youth development will be central to its departmental plan. This will avoid any possible aspect of negating this important area of our society. Most importantly, this approach should outline innovative, varied and multi-sector programs and projects that complement other national initiatives aimed at addressing the structural backlog of economic and social challenges, which invariably have adverse effects on the economic and social status of our youth. Government must ensure that guaranteed support for laying a basis of sustainable, productive resource investment and distribution for youth development is achieved by the establishment of this agency. A clear strategy of enhancing coordination as well as guiding the building of institutional platforms and systems for implementation, support, monitoring and evaluation of youth development in the country should be formulated, as it therefore contributes in creating the necessary environment for sustainable youth development to take place. We believe that people are and should be the center of government, changing system for the better, so introducing the agency focal areas must be prominent in the integrated plan, as this will serve the purpose of ensuring that each sector is given space and individual attention. We propose that government expedite local government youth development framework that must respond to youth development from local level, as this is the most critical level where lack of development is clearly witnessed. As a principal matter, we then propose that the agency accounts to the youth of South Africa through the National Parliament, with provincial standing committees for youth, gender and disabled playing an involvement role in giving assistance, monitoring and advising. The appointment of the board must also be made by the National Assembly of the Republic of South Africa. We also propose that there must be a review of Municipal Systems and Structures Act to take cognizance of youth development as an important area of delivery in order to clear prominence of it for easy delivery. In a nutshell, this plan is about youth taking on the challenge of defeating youth poverty and underdevelopment. The implementation of this plan will get youth to work hard in improving the present for a well-sustained future delivered. We have, as a country, an obligation to ensure that this situation, which has a corrosive effect on the building and sustenance of democracy, as it has already been beginning to show, is defeated, and it continues to bring about social instability and conflict. This objective really imposes a moral and political imperative for conscious and frontal intervention to promote the integration and mainstreaming of young people in building an alternative social system where inequality does not exist. We conclude by saying the whole notion of a program for youth development has its foundation in the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, Act 108 of 1996. Although the Bill of Rights does not specifically speak to the youth, it guides all citizens, including the youth, regarding their rights and provides a yardstick for the evaluation of government policy and practice. Given our history, particular attention has to be given to the socio-economic rights included in the Bill of Rights. These include access to housing, health care, food, water, and social security and education. Youth, like all other age groups in the South African population, are affected directly by measures taken to support these rights. The National Youth Commission Act recognizes the need to redress the imbalances of the past and to create a national youth policy aimed at empowering the youth and allowing them to realize their full potential through optimum access to opportunities. So as we fall towards to this agency, we must do this with added dedication and selflessness in ensuring that as we deliver to the youth of our country, we do so in a manner that will unite the young people of our country. We do so in a manner that will unite the young people of our country throughout the country and make true statement by the president that said that all of us together hold our future in our hands. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. That was the COP? COI. We have yet the four presentations from YCL, IFP, FF Plus, and COI. We shall engage. Any questions from members of provincial legislature and members of parliament on all of the presentations? Whilst we are still thinking about questions, if any, I'm interested in some data to get a sense of understanding of page 3, to an extent that we even have it in writing. It interests me more that for cabinet role and process, the participation of the Ministry of Labour in the process under which UIF falls is less than being ideal, and it goes on and on and on. I'm trying to get a sense from where I'm seated here, because I personally have been involved in these processes. Among others included would have been also interaction between the ministers and the presidency, and also the Labour Minister himself. Maybe you might wish to tell us something more than I have just said. Just clarity. Mr. Mkongi?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. No, I just want to ask questions, especially to the Young Communist League. There's something that is confusing me on the rationale. I think it's number 2, because there are no page numbers. At the bottom, they are saying that this must be done in a manner that is cognizant of the peculiarity of different localities in the form of provinces and municipalities. I'm not sure whether I found perhaps the contradiction. The contradiction in the sense that they proposed, firstly, that the agency should be a unitary structure. So if the agency becomes a unitary structure, that necessarily means an agency from national to local government. So which maybe personality or peculiarity are we talking about in terms of that? It's going to be in a form or in the implementation of programs due to resources and so forth. I just wanted to get that clarity. Thank you very much.
I take it that there are no other questions so far. Responses?
Okay, Chairperson.
I just forgot one thing. Maybe it's a print or misprint. They proposed 2 sections. They spoke about Section 74 and again spoke about Section 76. I just want to have clarity whether you mean 74 or you want to say 76.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think on that question that you are referring to, seeking clarity, we have further outlined that we might ourselves be less privy to the process. Hence, we have further gone as far as saying as much as the protocol might dictate otherwise, meaning which, as much as we acknowledge that there might be some of the processes that we are not yet privy to, but it was our view on the basis that the Labour Executive Authority is then the person within which Umsobomvu Youth Fund becomes a responsibility. So we're saying on the basis of that, this is where we're arriving at this particular point. But notwithstanding the fact that we might then be less privileged to the processes that have then taken place so far.
Thanks. Let me start with the question about Section 74 and Section 76. The submission of the YCL deliberately mentions those two, because the first option that we are proposing, and I've been repeatedly saying that is most favorable to us, is that the bill be tabled under Section 74, therefore enabling the process by which the Constitution can be amended for the agency to become a Chapter 9 institution. Further to that, Scenario 2, as it is labeled in the submission, proposes rather that if the option of a Chapter 9 institution is not possible, would rather opt for the process through which the bill is tabled under Section 76 of the Constitution. So we hope that we have clarified in that particular regard. On the second question about local peculiarities and the unitary structure, there isn't necessarily a dichotomy between the two. And I think the gentleman has partly answered the question in the sense that when you speak about, he mentioned that there might be uniformity in terms of the legislation covering the provinces and municipalities in the particular regard. However, the implementation expression or how implementation is expressed might be responsive to the particular challenges that are faced by those different provinces and municipalities. So there isn't necessarily a dichotomy between the two. Thanks.
Can you switch off your mic? Thank you. I must also mention, ladies and gentlemen, that, and perhaps this is a matter that has not been explained thoroughly, this is a committee-driven bill. In other words, it's a committee-sponsored bill, not the executive-driven or sponsored. Typically, you do have those scenarios where in executive, most of the time, I must also mention that it is the one that sponsors a number of bills, but this time around, the bill that is driven, sponsored by Parliament. I thought, let me just clarify that point so that we are not confused as we go forward, especially being a point being risen by Ms. Nida about the executive, you know, engaging these processes. Okay, if there are any other questions, I shall take it that we are done with this lot. Mrs. Tobias Bokolo?
Sure, it relates to what the IFP has said about amending of the Constitution. He says that we need to also include Section 6.1A to include implementation. Now, I want to put it to you that do you think it is possible for us to amend the Constitution just to accommodate the word implementation? I'm putting it to Mr. Nhlanhla Hadebe whether does he believe it's possible for us to change the Constitution just to accommodate the word implement, or don't you think that we should deal with the issues primarily that we're raising here, and I don't know, on the issue of the youth ministry and how a ministry is composed, I still need to put to you whether do you think that the Minister of Finance, given the MTNF budget cycle and now that the MTVS has been presented, is it possible to have a budget for that in the near future if you wanted to implement this chairperson? Also, YCL says that the bill can you hear me? Oh, okay. Okay, and then YCL said that the bill needs to be under Section 74 of the Constitution and not to deal with it as tax the way it is as part of the ordinary bills. And I think the chairperson has just said that we have sponsored the bill, therefore there was no need for broader consultation even to go beyond the MCP. I think it answers Mr. Hadebe's question in a way. But I want to understand that if you say that we need to put, because that's also a solicit for an amendment in the Constitution, and you know the process of amendment of the Constitution, you basically say that we must shelve this bill and first go and lobby parties to amend the Constitution, which is a process that will probably by the next parliament, not possible. So are you suggesting that we should shelve the bill and allow the fourth parliament to come into being and then it consider through two-thirds majority to amend the constitution just to accommodate this? Because I believe that the mechanisms that they put in place will assist us to establish a youth development agency. Now, on the issue of local coordinators, I would want maybe to hear a suggestion that what then should be the case, because you said that there's no clear relationship between the local youth units and the local youth coordinators. I think we'll want you to share more information on what needs to be the case in this regard.
Can I just stop you there, Mrs. Tobias Okolo? Well, one other challenge that we have, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have been instructed to be in front of the National Assembly by 1:30. Now, we are also expected to be having lunch now. What I would propose we do, rather than responding to any of the questions, we break for lunch, and then we come back here promptly at 2:00. We start, and then we hope to finish early because some of the organizations that are expected to be here are not here. I can mention but a few. PAC threatened to be here. They are not here. And Western Cape Youth Commission, they're supposed to be hosting us, and they decided not to come. And I did see that the Youth in Energy is here. And Azayo also has been very frantic about coming here. Are they here? Azayo. There are the others who are threatened as well. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll break and come back at 2:00. We're starting at 2:00. We're not coming at 2:00. Thank you.